mail on Saturday. It goes to the House now. Also in the House, a vote has been scheduled for Friday on the student loan interest rate issue. House Speaker John Boehner is attempting to outmaneuver President Obama, who's been pushing for keeping the interest rate where it is. The Republican plan would pay the $5.9 billion price tag to do so by slashing the president's health care overhaul bill. Wall Street trading starts today after stocks closed higher yesterday. The markets reacted to Apple's earnings, which topped expectations, and a Federal Reserve Chairman Bernanke saying the Fed has no plans to raise interest rates in the short term. France is talking about military intervention in Syria, saying it may be necessary if international efforts to end the fighting collapse. This is NBC News Radio. The U.S. Army says it's going to have to right-size as it scales back operations in Iraq and Afghanistan. Here's NBC Radio's Paul Harlan.
When you think about corporate layoffs, the U.S. government doesn't normally come to mind. But it could happen at the Pentagon, where the Army is considering laying off over 24,000 enlisted personnel and 5,000 officers due to budget cuts and the fact that the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan are winding down. The Army could shrink from a peak of 570,000 personnel down to 490,000. Experts worry this could demoralize other members of our all-volunteer military. Paul Harlan, NBC News Radio.
Tonight is the NFL draft. We know that quarterback Andrew Luck is number one and going to the Colts. And we know that Robert Griffin III is number two and going to the Redskins. But after that, it's anybody's guess. And a new rookie wage scale could lead to a lot of wheeling and dealing. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Veronica Dela Cruz, NBC News Radio.
Hello, State Farm.
Hi, can I bundle my auto, home, and life policies together at State Farm?
You could save hundreds, and you can deal with just one State Farm agent.
Just one?
Just me.
I won't be bandied off to some bungling bargain basement bailiwick in East Bumstumble?
Nope, only me.
No BS, no baloney, and no ballyhooed bundling bunkum?
Believe it.
No matter how many policies you have, it can all stay with one State Farm agent.
Bless you.
Better?
Beyond better. Bye.
Bye.
Get to a better state. Call 1-800-STATE-FARM today.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just partway. We go full throttle. We don't just put oil on sale. Oh, no. We bring mind-blowing value every day. Right now, buy a 5-plus quart jug of Peak conventional motor oil with filter for just $9.99 after $5 mail-in rebate. That's an oil change special for less than $10. Mind blown. Budget not blown. Advance Auto Parts. Service is our best part.
Advance Auto Parts.
Free rebate oil price, $14.99. Void where prohibited.
The maker of the generic form of the popular cholesterol drug Lipitor is getting bigger. Watson Pharmaceuticals will spend between $5 and $6 billion to buy Swiss drug maker Actavis. Watson says the deal will allow it to compete better with generic drug rivals. Fee-hungry banks are looking to attract low-income customers. The New York Times says more big banks are aggressively courting low-income customers with alternative products that can carry high fees. Products like check cashing accounts or short-term loans were largely untouched by recent financial regulations. They also help banks make up the billions in lost income from recent limits on debit and credit card fees. Quarterly earnings reports could have a lot to say about where stocks head today. Plenty are coming out. Also, the market gets a chance to react to the latest on the jobs front as we get the weekly look at initial unemployment claims before the opening bell. S&P futures, they're down about a point now. NASDAQ giving back nearly three. Dow futures are in the red by 5 points. I'm Steve Potusk in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Referrals. Simple word, right? To a small business, referrals are solid gold. So how do you stir them up? Email marketing from ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get easy-to-use templates to showcase your business with photos and coupons. And best of all, it's easy for your customers to pass them along to others. In other words, help you generate the almighty referral. Plans as low as $15 a month. Get your free 60-day trial at ConstantContact.com and let the referrals begin.
Does your business thrive by serving other businesses? Would you like a healthy, steady flow of B2B leads that are customized to grow sales? Hoovers has developed a best-in-class lead generation tool that makes it easy for you to find targeted leads for your business. You'll be amazed at how easy it is to get the right leads fast. Try it today for free. Get 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial. Just call 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011.
I'm a teacher, and my kids keep me going all day. My feet needed help. I was using a gel insole when I heard about the ProFoot 2-ounce Miracle Insole.
Only the 2-ounce Miracle is made with custom-forming VitaFoam to keep your feet steady and comfortable. The 2-ounce Miracle insoles conform to the unique shape of your feet, just like custom orthotics. Plus, they cushion and support your feet for amazing comfort.
The lightweight 2-ounce Miracle insoles really help my feet.
Try the ProFoot 2-ounce Miracle insole, available at Walgreens, Rite Aid, and other fine stores.
I'm Professor Burke from the University of Farmers, and this is a pop quiz. What's the best way to find out what your auto policy covers? A, smash your car up and see how much your insurance pays, or B, talk to a highly trained farmer's agent and see if you have the coverage you want. The answer is B. Please don't attempt A. That's just crazy town.
If you want answers about auto insurance, you want a farmer's agent. Find yours at farmers.com. We are insurance.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba, dum, bum, bum, bum.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
An idea. A thought. Born in Dearborn. The product of hard work, teamwork, pride. Put in the hands of the people.
For the people.
And made in America.
It's time to punch in for your
first shift. Now, here's Tony Triano.
Booyah! It's been a while. It's a Booyah Thursday program here on First Shift. Booyah! Yowza, lots going on today. Okay, why am I so full of piss and vinegar this morning? I don't know. Just damn. Probably because last night when I visited with the Points for Peace group out in Grosse Pointe Park at the public library there. Full room, by the way. Nice to meet everybody that was there. Just had a great night. I got home a little later than I normally do and went to bed much later than I normally do. But I'm not feeling any ill effects from that today. I'm looking at our lineup today. Jeff has done an amazing job at getting us some kick-ass guests. So I'm very excited about that. I do have the best job in the world, by the way. And so I'm just, you know, thrilled. And then I've got a pretty full day, but in all the best ways. Plus, one of the people, and I'll talk about this a little bit more later on, one of the people that came to my speech last night in Grosse Pointe Park bought me from the protest yesterday a GE Pay Your Fair Share sign that you saw, those yellow placards that people were carrying. So I now have one of those, which is awesome. We also have some audio. Chris Mielak is the president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO, is there and grabbed some audio for us, so we'll get to that in just a bit. So, yeah, it's a Booyah Thursday. Anthony, you can get ready to cue that up, and we'll get to that in a bit. But in the meantime, let's take a look at what we do have going on today in the 7 o'clock hour. Attorney Elizabeth Wydra will join us to talk about the Supreme Court considering the Arizona immigration law, its constitutionality. And I'm going to guess, based on the way they questioned people yesterday and the reports that I read that surround yesterday's activity, that they may be siding with the state of Arizona. But we'll wait and see what happens. 7:35, Minority Leader Richard Hamel will join us. The Republicans, and I say the Republicans, there's nothing bipartisan about the budget, released their budget. How does it look? What does it smell like? Let me tell you, let me say it this way. You may want to move to fresher territory or end up upwind because you don't want to be downwind on this budget. Occupy Detroit will occupy first shift at 7:50. At 8 o'clock, Kevin Moore joins us. And at 8:50 today, we'll visit with Zach Steve, the president of the Young Democrats of Michigan, and talk a little bit about the event I will be speaking at on Saturday evening. And thank you for those that have said you're going to be there. So looking forward to that. Anyway, we've got a lot to get to, so let's get this Booyah Thursday underway.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Oh, our first word today, it's going to sound like a negative word, and frankly it is a negative word, but you know, not necessarily a negative connotation, not necessarily. Punishment is today's first word. Sometimes, though, a punishment is necessary. You know, we need to be Now, given our parameters, and if you kind of go outside those parameters, depending on what it is we're, of course, discussing, sometimes a punishment is necessary. Sometimes we're punished for doing the right thing, sometimes punished for doing the wrong thing. And then, of course, sometimes a punishment to one person isn't necessarily a punishment to someone else. Sometimes the severity of the punishment doesn't fit the crime. Other times it does. Sometimes it's too excessive. Other times not excessive enough. Punishments are, I think, appropriate and again, properly applied are legitimate. No question that's true, but sometimes, maybe oftentimes, punishment or punishments are used for the wrong reason. And are we punishing the right people, the wrong people? Are we punishing for the right or the wrong reasons? You see, one of the problems with a punishment is you don't know why or what somebody's agenda is at the time of levying that punishment. If you're in the court of law and you are punished for something, it can run the gamut, right? Anywhere from a slap on the wrist to jail time. If you're a parent raising a child, as we'll listen to a story here in just a little bit, is embarrassing your child a punishment or cruel and unusual behavior? Oh, ladies and gentlemen, this word punishment obviously can be applied in many different ways. Indeed, it can. So let's keep our eye on the ball and let's be mindful that when we apply punishment, that we're doing it for all the right reasons. Today's first word is punishment. And I fear as we turn our attention now to a little bit of Detroit Tigers news that in a way I feel like I'm being punished for being a fan. Jeff Radford, welcome back, number one. And number two, I'm happy to report you are just this side of being back to normal, which is great to see.
Yeah, you can sort of tell the signs that my sickness. Normally, the last 3 days I came in with glasses on because it hurt, you know, to put contacts, the pressure so much in my head or whatever. And I don't feel like wearing contacts when I'm sick anyway. And then I was freezing cold no matter what temperature it was. So I wore a hoodie and a beanie and a winter hat because I was just so cold the whole time. And I had the heat turned up in here. I'm sure Anthony was probably sweating it. But, yeah, I feel much better today.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Of course, I'm glad to hear that. Although it looks like Anthony's now coming down with something.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm sorry, bud. Anthony, you went to the game last night. What?
No, I didn't.
No, you didn't end up going.
No, I went. I just didn't want to admit that I actually went.
It's okay. Were there a lot of people there?
No, actually, we got pretty good seats. We got to move down pretty far.
9-1. I was listening when I was coming back from giving my speech. I was listening to the game, obviously, Dan Dickerson and Jim Price. By the way, for those that don't know, Jim Price had been out sick for a little while, and he's back, which is good. Anyway, what's that?
It's good.
Well, I like Jim Price.
Do you really?
As a person, I like him a whole lot, yeah. As a broadcaster, maybe not so much, but I can live with him.
Oh, okay. I've never met him as a person. I've heard him as a broadcaster.
Well, I mean, I know that he's a very charitable guy. I know that he's had some challenges in his personal life. I know that he's been ill as of late. I know that as a Detroit Tiger, he was a pretty good guy. So, no, I like him as a person. Anyway, Anthony, very quickly, as I was listening to the game on my way home last night, and it sounded like the way Dan Dickerson was talking, it's like the Seattle, when they were coming up to bat, it's almost like they had some knowledge. They said that they were walking up very confidently and swinging the bat as if they knew what the pitch was going to be. And then, of course, the Tigers, not so much, that there was a real passiveness to the way that they were batting last night. Did you notice a difference in the aggressiveness of each team and the way they were batting?
I mean, to be honest, we were sitting way out in right field. I mean, I couldn't even see if it was a strike or a ball. But, I mean, it was just a long game. They were, like, every time they were stepping up the bat, it didn't take them long to get on base. And it seemed like even Casper Wells was swinging the bat well last night.
Well, that says something in and of itself. Well, anyway, it's unfortunate. The big question, and we'll bring Jeff back in a second here, but the big question to you, because you and I have been, You know, I've been doing this a long time. Are you ready for the first round of the NFL draft today?
Oh, I couldn't sleep last night.
But do we need to stop on the way home and get you any supplies?
No, I should be good. I just need a nap before then.
And I'm sure that you have already arranged that.
Yep.
Okay, very good. Well, anyway. Hey, Jeff, I just happened to, I have Channel 7 on in the studio this morning, as I do most mornings, and at least early on. And Mike Martin is sitting in live with whoever's doing sports. Nice looking guy. Never I've seen him out of uniform.
Big guy.
Big guy, very big guy. Where do you think he's going to go today?
Not today. Yeah, he's not going today.
Okay, so he will not be a first round pick.
No. He might end up being a first round value because I think the what I've seen is he's third, maybe even fourth round, and I tend to believe it's not maize and blue glasses, but this guy, you know, much like J.J. Watt from last year. J.J. Watt wasn't thought to be that as great as he ended up playing, and it's just, man, sometimes guys don't get credit when they deserve it, and Martin was like the defense last year.
You know who's his number one fan, don't you?
His girlfriend?
No, it would be Matt Millen.
Well, then I take back everything I just said.
I'm serious. Matt Millen is a huge Mike Martin fan.
Yeah, of course he is.
Huge.
That's because both of their names. He likes anyone M.M. Marty Morningweg, Matt Millen, Mike Martin.
You know, you make a good point. Of course, I wish Mike Martin well. I do. I'm sure that he will. He'll get his payday. There's no question. He is a big guy. They're showing some videotape on him right now. You only ever see him in uniform, so. He's certainly well.
Well, in uniform, he looks even bigger.
Yeah, I mean, he looks quite well developed, no question about it. All right. Well, anyway, what time does the draft start today?
It's in prime time.
It's a prime time thing. Okay, so it'd be 8 o'clock, maybe 7, but probably more like 8.
Yeah, I think it's more like 8.
Okay. Well, whatever. You know, I'll read about it in the morning because I was up late last night. I don't do this 2 days in a row.
You're not going to sleep all during the day and stay up during the draft?
You know, I have a very busy day today. I got a little appointment after the show, and then I just have a very busy day. So, no, there will be no nap for me. No question. Let's take a quick break here. We've got some other stuff to get to, obviously. We got a lot of show in front of us, so we'll do that. 888-552-3595. We'll talk a little bit about my evening in Grosse Pointe last night. In the meantime, we got to get to the break. Everybody stay where they're at. First Shift will continue after this.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
This is white supremacy, and we will fight you. And before we let you take over our city, we will burn it down.
What the f*** is the matter with you?
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
We have a couple of trouble spots on your commute. Heading over to 96 eastbound at the 696 connector, an accident has your right shoulder blocked, and that's causing slow traffic from 12 mile. And 696 westbound just after Telegraph, an accident is blocking your left shoulder. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 60 degrees with a chance of showers in the early morning. Tonight, partly cloudy and 30. Tomorrow, 56 degrees and sunny. And it's currently 50 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores.
stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Attention, passionate Democrats all over Michigan.
The Michigan Democratic Party is proud to announce their annual fundraiser, the Jeff Jack Dinner.
Will be held this year on Saturday, April 28th,
and your attendance is required. They are thrilled to welcome to Michigan Robert Gibbs, senior advisor to Obama for America and a true friend of Michigan, as the former press secretary for our own Senator Debbie Stabenow, as well as to President Obama. In addition to an amazing dinner at Cobo Center, this year marks the inaugural after party that is a can't-miss event
and is included in the price of your dinner ticket.
Whether you have attended in the past or this is your first time, the Jeff Jack Dinner is one of the most exciting events for Democrats, and it is literally a must-attend for those of us who care about the Michigan Democratic Party. Just go to MichiganDems.com/JeffJack to purchase your tickets now.
That's MichiganDems.com/JeffJack.
And reserve your spot to one of the most exciting political nights of the year. We'll look forward to seeing you there.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moodly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after 6 o'clock. Good Thursday morning to you. Amazing how quickly the week flies by. Now, as I stated a little bit earlier on, last night, I was invited by the Points for Peace group in Grosse Pointe Park to speak to their organization at the Grosse Pointe Public Library, which is a beautiful facility, by the way. Absolutely gorgeous facility. And I'm happy to report that there was the room was full. I mean, there was not an empty seat, which is wonderful. I'm going to give them credit for promoting that, as opposed to, because I was there. But I appreciate everybody that did show up. We had a great conversation. I especially want to thank Sandy, who is the one that invited me, originally invited me to, come speak to them. And we had an amazing conversation, and I think the best part about it, for me anyway, I mean, you know, I enjoy doing this stuff. I enjoy public speaking a great deal, and anybody that's ever invited me or, you know, perhaps experienced a speech that I've done knows that I enjoy it. I'm not necessarily saying I'm all that great at it, but I do enjoy doing it. The best part for me, though, is when we have a chance to do Q&A, which we did last night. And that was, for me, the most illuminating part of the whole evening, because you always get this wonderful connection to people, and you really learn a lot about them through the questions that they asked. One of the questions that comes up repeatedly everywhere I go, no matter what the group is that I'm speaking to, is how do we engage more people into the process of elections? How do we get people out to vote? How do we get them interested in doing that? And it's a great question. And you know, the way I answered it last night was honestly, number one, and I said, I don't have the answer to the question. I don't know how you make people, get people off their butts and into the voting booth. I don't know how you can motivate people to do that, because I honestly believe, and part of the answer I gave last night is I honestly believe that voting is a very personal thing. And you know, when people go to vote, it's normally very personal. Or, like me and many others, it becomes habitual. Voting just becomes a habit. It's something you do. If there's an election, you go vote. It's just part of our DNA, and it's what we do. Now, I'm not saying that makes me or other people that do that any better than anybody else. And I understand that sometimes people just don't feel motivated to vote. And I don't understand that, because if there's something going on in your community, because some elections, by the way, are very local. They only affect, you know, the city boundary that you live in, which to me makes it that much more critical. But as we take a look at that and we look at that, we examine that question, how do we get people out of their homes and to the voting booth? Part of the answer to the question, although, again, I don't have the complete answer, is we need to start a dialogue with people, which is what we do on this show. This is a dialogue. Now, again, not everybody agrees on everything. And although there are some of you that listen to the show on a very daily basis, and you and I get along just fine, you don't like every guest that I have, you don't like every point of view that I have, and, you know, again, we've learned to live with each other. We're kind of like now an old married couple. Not that old married, but that's okay. You understand what I'm saying. So, but it's the dialogue. It's having that conversation, making that connection, and getting people engaged in the discussion. Now, one of the women that talked last night that made a comment said, you know, it can be very uncomfortable. You know, that sometimes you offend people or you may lose a friend or two in the process. That's happened. It's happened to me. I think it's happened to any of us that are passionate. I happen to, you know, I'm always thinking, folks, I'm always thinking of my friend Pam Emery in Wyandotte, who is probably the number one activist I know for a variety of reasons. For a variety of reasons, Pam is just this extraordinary activist, and she's a pure activist. She's selfless to a core. I mean, Pam is just one of those people that when she believes in something or believes that the cause is worthy of her time, she will give everything she has to it. If everybody were to act the way Pam does, we would live in a much happier world. Now, do her and I agree on everything? Absolutely not. But we have this mutual respect for one another. And, you know, that's the thing that I find that's missing a lot in today's society, is we don't have mutual respect. We can have very different points of view. I used to interview a guy on my show on a regular basis who was a hardcore Republican, and I used to call him my favorite Republican because he was. We're not really connected any longer, or I probably would have him on the show. And he's more of a national focus than a local or statewide, so that's another reason I don't have him on my show. It's not that I don't have friends or relations and connections to people that are Republican. I do. Yes, shockingly, folks, I do. You know, and you know, whether you believe this or not, my entire universe does not revolve around politics, but you know, the majority of it does, and as a result of that, I sometimes go out of my way to have a dialogue that can be uncomfortable for people. I get that. But we still have to have that dialogue. We really do. So, anyway, 888-552-3595. I, again, want to thank the Points for Peace group. I had a great time last night. I hope that they'll invite me back sometime. Would love to go see them again. We ended the evening on a great positive note, and really, again, thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, Tom in Detroit joins us now. Good morning, Tom. Pleasure to talk to you again.
Good morning, Tony. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. I wanted to, I don't know if you, I'm pretty sure you saw it, the gentleman, Mr. Louis Schimmel, who was the emergency manager from Pontiac.
Yes, spoken with the Wyandotte Rotary the other day.
Sure. Okay, and what he said was, you know, just because you've got an emergency manager up there and, you know, all what they do, he said it's something like it's designed to fail. I mean, you go up there and you cut, but if you don't have any kind of plan to generate some revenue, he says they're just going to fall right back in the same habits and patterns that got them to the point of an EM anyway. So, you know, in terms of what he says, and I mean, I'm pretty sure the man, you know, knows what he's talking about. I mean, what's the point of an EM? I mean, other than the fact that you can come up there and you know, work your magic. that's an oxymoron. You can work your stuff and you know, and you end up right back where you started from.
Well, you know, it seems to me, Tom, and we're gonna, after the break, we're gonna talk about Public Act 4, because it was news yesterday, it will be news again today. There's no question that's true, and I'm hoping what happens, which would be the right thing to happen, Tom, is that the State Board of Canvassers will allow the question to be placed on the ballot. Indeed, if it's, well, you know, the votes have been certified, so we know that there are enough signatures, legitimate signatures.
Right.
So, you know, again, all things being equal, everything moves forward today. We revert back to the old emergency manager bill.
Right.
Law, which will mandate in a good way that some of the powers the emergency managers now have, they will no longer have.
Yeah.
Give the voters a chance to decide this issue once and for all. Tom, as always, appreciate the call. Let's get to the break, folks. Much more. In fact, we'll get to some audio on the other side on Public Act 4. Stay with us. This is First Shift. I'm Tony Trupiano. When you're listening to 1310 WDTW.
Booyah! 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 That's right. BYOB, bring your own booyah!
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
We have a couple of trouble spots on your commute. Heading over to 96 eastbound at the 696 connector. An accident has your right shoulder blocked, and that's causing slow traffic from 12 mile. And 696 westbound just after Telegraph, an accident is blocking your left shoulder. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
Today is going to be 60 degrees with a chance of showers in the early morning. Tonight, partly cloudy and 30. Tomorrow, 56 degrees and sunny. And it's currently 50 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Joining us now from Working America is Fran Brennan. And
when our organizers go into neighborhoods and knock on our neighbors' doors, most people are not being heard. They feel frustrated. They feel like they're isolated. And we're there to listen and to have them know that there is a capacity to give them a voice, to give them empowerment, and to get them re-engaged into what's going on in both their community and in their state.
On 1310 WDTW.
My congratulations to workers in 16 states, from Maine to Georgia, New Jersey to Colorado. Many of you will be thrilled to know that the income taxes deducted from your paychecks each month are going to a very worthy cause, your corporate boss. Good Jobs First, a nonprofit, nonpartisan research center, has analyzed state programs meant to create jobs, but instead have created some $700 million a year in corporate welfare. This scam starts with a normal practice of corporations withholding from each employee's monthly check the state income taxes their workers owe. But rather than remitting this money to pay for state services, these 16 states simply allow the corporations to keep the tax payments for themselves. Adding to the funkiness of taxation by corporation, the bosses don't even have to tell workers that the company is siphoning off their state taxes for its own fun and profit. These heists are rationalized in the name of job creation, but that's a hoax too. They're really just bribes the states pay to get corporations to move existing jobs from one state to another, or they're hostage payments to corporations that demand the public's money, or else they'll move their jobs out of state. Last year, Kansas used workers withholding taxes to bribe AMC Entertainment with a $47 million payment to move its headquarters from downtown Kansas City, Missouri, to a KC suburb on the Kansas side, just 10 miles away. What a ripoff. Among the 2,700 corporations cashing in on such absurd diversions of state taxes from public need to private greed are Goldman Sachs, GE, Motorola, and Procter & Gamble. This is Jim Hightower saying, for ways you can help stop this despicable giveaway, get the full report. It's available at goodjobsfirst.org.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us.
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women who put in a hard day's work every day. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 6 o'clock. It is a Thursday, the 26th day of April, 2012. Pleasure to be with you. Public Act 4, the Emergency Manager Law, a great controversy for a variety of reasons. Certainly, if you are in Pontiac, or if you are in Benton Harbor, or you are in Inkster, or you are in Flint, if you are the part of the Detroit Public School System or Muskegon Heights School System, and I could go on, the emergency manager has been, the emergency manager has become a very invasive part of your life, whether you recognize it or not. And today, the State Board of Canvassers will meet. Let's listen to a couple pieces of audio and then have a real discussion about Public Act 4 and what should happen today. Go ahead.
Now, if it does make it on the ballot, there could be turmoil in several cities and school districts where emergency managers are in charge.
7 Action News reporter Julie Bonovich is live in Detroit tonight. Julie, a lot is riding on tomorrow's decision by the Board of Canvassers, right?
It sure is, Carolyn, because when they meet tomorrow at 10 a.m., if they approve the petition, the emergency manager law would be temporarily suspended. The numbers are there. Over 225,000 signatures gathered since last June. If the petition is approved, voters will decide whether or not to repeal the emergency manager law in November.
Our hope is that they will respect the will of the people, all the people that put in the work, respect the democratic process, and give people the opportunity to vote on this issue.
Greg Bowens is with the Stand Up for Democracy Coalition. Their group and those against Public Act 4, the emergency manager law, believe it strips the voters of the democratic process.
When you get an emergency manager, all that goes away, and they want it back.
But supporters of the law believe it helps struggling communities get out of debt. The law allows the state to appoint an emergency manager to take over financially troubled cities and school districts, whether or not the entity or people want them to. And it gives them the power to throw out union contracts.
This new law goes way too far. Republican, Democrat, liberal, or conservative, we can all agree that in America, we vote to decide the future of our country.
The Detroit and Highland Park public school systems and the cities of Pontiac and Ecorse are currently under emergency manager rule. The city of Detroit recently avoided an emergency manager with a consent agreement. If the State Board of Canvassers approves the petition, the emergency manager law would be suspended temporarily. If that happens, a spokesperson for Governor Rick Snyder released this statement saying, "The administration's position has been and continues to be, if Public Act 4 were to be suspended pending a statewide vote in November, Public Act 72 of 1990 would be revived." And that means they would have far less power under that old law, including less power over union contracts. Carolyn, back to you.
All right. Thanks a lot, Julie. Now, if the emergency manager law is suspended, it will affect the Detroit, Highland Park, and Muskegon Heights school systems. It would also affect the cities of Pontiac, Flint, Ecorse, and Benton Harbor. It would not affect the Detroit consent agreement reached earlier this month.
All right. Now, very, very quickly, before we get to the next piece of audio, there is a little caveat in here. And I said the State Board of Canvassers have to approve all this stuff very quickly. We know that there are enough legitimate signatures. That was determined yesterday. So that shouldn't be an issue. So there are enough signatures to put this on the ballot November 6th. So what is the issue? Let this audio maybe clarify it.
One of Governor Snyder's first orders of business was to move Public Act 4 through the legislature. It sends emergency managers into failing cities to make the decisions that politicians lack the will to do and, in theory, fix financial meltdowns. Some say it's smart, but the group called Stand Up for Democracy sees it as a draconian move to strip the voters of their elected officials. That group has succeeded in collecting enough valid signatures to get it on the ballot
in November.
Our hope is that the Board of Canvassers will follow the recommendation of the staff. They have validated the signatures, said we had enough. In addition to that, there were five challenges to the petition itself. Four of the challenges the state staff noted are beyond the purview of the Board of Canvassers.
And while the signatures may be valid, the petitions the group passed around do not have the required font size on them. The law says it has to be 14-point font, regardless of type style. These petitions don't have it. It's a problem. So in a matter of hours, the Board of Canvassers can approve the petitions and put the issue on the ballot in November, even though the font size isn't correct. That scenario is unlikely. The board could have a split vote, 2-4, 2-against. In that case, the Supreme Court then decides what to do. Or the board can reject the petitions because of the font, in which case it's assured Stand Up for Democracy will file a lawsuit.
Again, I don't remember who that reporter was, but shame on her for getting it wrong. The font size is 14 point. It is 14 point for that particular font, which was assigned, which was, by the way, assigned, part of a signed affidavit from the printer who has to sign off on these petitions after they're printed and handed over to the group that is going to distribute them. So fundamentally, again, we seem to point on a daily basis how wrong the journalists, quote-unquote journalists in this town are. Oh, my God. She got it wrong. She did get it wrong. This is it is a 14-point font. It is not now what's in question isn't that was it 14-point. Was it the right font? Which is just ridiculous. Folks, is there anybody that signed that petition that didn't know what they were signing? The answer to that question is no. So the 225,000 people that signed that petition knew what they were signing. Again, the people that had the petitions printed went to a printer that is experienced in printing this kind of stuff. The printer signs an affidavit saying that they followed all the rules and regulations, which they did. If they deny for some reason democracy over the quote-unquote size of the font, we'll really know what's going on. I mean, we will really know. You want to talk about, and I'm going to tell you, the poll question is about nonviolent direct action. I don't know about how nonviolent this gets if they deny this issue based on font size. And by the way, as Chris Savage at Eclecta Blog pointed out, A couple weeks ago, there's precedent in favor of the question, which means there's precedent that says that font size has been an issue in the past and has been overlooked because the very tenet, the very idea of the question has absolutely nothing to do with the font size. It should pass. There is legal precedent to support that. I always get a little worried. I mean, if you listen to what that said now, and I've got to wonder how accurate this story is based on the reporter getting some of the facts wrong. Facts, reporter, facts, getting some of those wrong. That if this goes to the Republican Supreme Court, what will they do? Pretty sad stuff. I'm really disappointed with journalism in Detroit. Really disappointed. Just bad, bad stuff. Listen, I'm partisan. I'm not a journalist. I say this to you all the time. But at least when I say something on the show, I have done my homework. It is a fact. You don't have to agree with the fact, but it's a fact. It's not that hard to do this stuff. You just kind of, you know, read. This goes back to yesterday. Mary Conway, Channel 7. How many decades has this woman been doing television in the city? And she says she's reporting that they're worried that the GE shareholder meeting yesterday was going to get violent when the whole point of that was about nonviolent direct action. And this is because the media doesn't show up to the stuff they're invited to. You know, the media decides what's important, what's not important. I get that. You know, you got an assignment editor and that's their job. You know, part of doing foundationally good work is knowing what the hell you're talking about. God, it just irritates the living You know, okay, all right, easy, Tom, easy. Too early to get all wound up. Maybe too late, because I'm already all wound up. All right, we're going to take a break here in just a minute or so. When we come back, we're going to listen to some audio that Chris Mihalakis gathered for us yesterday when he was part of the 99% movement that protested the General Electric shareholders meeting yesterday in downtown Detroit. Now, I did post to the Facebook page just as soon as somebody, the media had posted some stuff, an article that said that, frankly, they were very successful, the protesters. Very successful in their non-violent direct action. Non-violent. Very successful. How? Well, you can go read the article. It is what it is. But Chris was there, talked to some of the people, gathered some of that audio, sent it to Jeff. Jeff processes it, and we'll get it to you in just a few minutes. So don't worry about that. We'll get to that. I will say this. One of the wonderful things, and again, I want to thank the woman that gave me the placard yesterday that says, GE, pay your fair share. If you saw any pictures from yesterday's protest, they're the yellow signs that people were carrying. So it's kind of cool. Got it in studio with me. I'll be hanging it up in my office when I get back later on this morning. But I'm proud of the movement. I'm proud of everybody that was there. I am. I'm so proud. And it was great. Very quickly, the woman that gave me that placard said when she showed up at Grand Circus Park, there weren't that many people there. They marched over to Hard Plaza, where there were thousands of people there, and then others coming in by the busload. It's a good day to be an activist in Michigan, is it not? All right, a quick break here. We come back, we'll get to some of that audio. Feel free to join us, by the way. 888-552-3595. Tony@thetonyshow.org. And join us on Twitter @TonyTrupiano. We'll take the break. We'll be back. Stay with us. This is First Shift.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
I want the top wealthiest Americans to be taxed higher and that money to go to education.
I want true democracy for the 99% of us who don't have it anymore.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
The 2012 Michigan Summit will celebrate and champion progressive change that is driving Michigan and will challenge all of us to make sure that all of Michigan moves forward together. Please go to themichigansummit.org right now and register to make sure you have saved yourself a seat for Saturday, May 12, 2012 at the Kellogg Center in East Lansing, Michigan. As keynote speakers George Coel and Barbara Arnwine promise to deliver messages that transcend petty politics and empower all of us to find a new path to prosperity. Together, as we reach across every sector of society to uplift and engage all of our friends and colleagues, themichigansummit.org should be your first stop in planning for a future that is all-inclusive. Please join Progress Michigan in energizing, engaging, and winning. Register at themichigansummit.org right now.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
First word.
First thoughts. First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you. First Shift on 1310 WGTW with Tony Trupiano.
10 minutes before the top of the hour. Let's get to that audio. Then we're going to get to the phones. 888-552-3595. Let's hit it.
My name is Sarah Coffey. I work with Occupy Detroit, among other community organizing projects. I'm here on Jefferson Avenue in front of the Renaissance Center with about 1,000 other people, holding General Electric accountable at its annual shareholder meeting for tax dodging, dirty energy, and corporate control of our political process.
And can you describe the actions a bit?
There were people who were inside the shareholders meeting who made their statements, were kicked out, stayed inside chanting for about 20 minutes, and were ushered to the much larger crowd that was waiting for them outside. We've walked onto Jefferson Avenue. Everybody is standing in the middle of the street. We've been here for about 10 minutes. Traffic is completely stopped, and it's really great.
Well, my name is Shannon Molina. I came from Kenosha, Wisconsin, and I came here to hold GE accountable. They're tax dodgers, and because of their tax dodging, people like me and the people that you see standing around you, we're all getting the shaft. You know, we're struggling hard, and it's not because we're not trying. We're just getting the shaft.
My name's Dennis Craycraft. I'm down here from Ionia, Michigan, to support the movement on big businesses not paying their taxes. We're from Michigan Corrections Organization in the support, and great turnout. Hopefully, we can turn some heads and make some progress for our future goals in a better direction.
So, when corporations don't pay their fair share of taxes, what does that mean for corrections officers?
Well, it means cutbacks, and we lose the safety, we lose the community safety with the vehicles being taken away, the $75 million they're trying to cut from us, and they're trying to privatize the prisons and knock the pay scale down, and it's not necessary if the big corporates pay their share and do the thing. Well, that weight wouldn't be on our shoulders.
Reverend Charles Williams II, pastor of the King Solomon Baptist Church. These are our streets. We are taking our streets back. We will not allow corporations like GE not to pay taxes and municipalities struggle and emergency managers set in the land all over the place. We're taking it back. We're fighting back. We're standing up. We're looking at least 5,000 people that are walking up and down Jefferson that are peaceful, that are making sure that we are walking in the footsteps of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and Mahatma Gandhi with civil disobedience, nonviolence.
All right, we want to thank Chris Milakis. Let's go to the phones. Dave in Redford joins us now. Dave, good morning to you. Thanks for punching in with us. What's on your mind?
You're welcome, Tony. Hey, the one thing I wanted to ask is, I didn't hear it asked on any of the clips there, was what is the one thing specifically that, you know, they would like to see happen that would help GE, the Democrat-aligned GE, pay their fair share? I mean, what legislative action to make these corporations pay their quote-unquote fair share, whatever that means, would they like to see happen?
Well, that's a great question, and thanks for the call. Very quickly, it means that we need to put together legislation. We need to work with the, and this is, some of it's IRS stuff, some of it's just It's a lot of it's all tax related, but we need to create legislation that doesn't allow the loopholes, and some of it may just be closing loopholes that currently exist. And again, we determined this earlier in the week. This week, we talked about it last week. This is talk about a bipartisan effort. This doesn't happen without Democrats and Republicans screwing the average American. This isn't just a Republican issue, folks. This is a political issue, and we need to close these loopholes that would, again, provide that corporations pay their fair share. What does that mean? And I'll give it to you very quickly, that they have to pay at the same rate or whatever, however you want to define that, as I do or that you do. Why is it that I have to pay federal taxes but GE doesn't? That's the question you have to ask. 888-552-3595. Daryl in Farmington Hills joins us now. Good morning, Daryl. Thanks for giving us a call. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Tony. I was listening to your mini rant about press coverage of political matters here locally. I have to definitely give you kudos for that and a lot of agreement on that issue. When I was watching the discussion about Oakland County's reapportionment and the power grab that the Republicans did by going to the state legislature to change the law after that, the articles in the paper were extremely skimpy, did not explain that the reapportionment commission that had done the work in Oakland County had done it like all other 82 counties within the state of Michigan, allowed His Highness Brooke Snotterson to actually say, oh, well, it's just politics inside baseball. And they're counting upon people to forget that by November, by the way. And then when they actually had the meeting to finally authenticate, so to speak, this new map that they came up with, which is highly partisan, giving a benefit of 14 Republican seats to 7 Democratic seats, accomplishing Brooks's stated goal of, well, it, you know, Republicans will rule in Oakland County for the foreseeable future. No one was at the meeting except for one lone reporter typing notes and getting some impressions about.
Yeah, and Daryl, I don't mean to cut you short. First of all, you're brilliant. You obviously know what you're talking about. You obviously have done your homework. You are obviously on top of this story. There's no question that's true. Daryl is 100% right. Daryl knows more about this than I would bet you 99% of the quote-unquote journalists in the state of Michigan. In the state of Michigan! Thank you, Daryl. Jim in Detroit, real quick before we run out of time this hour, what's on your mind?
It's always a pleasure to speak with you, Tony.
Thank you.
Just, you know, this GE, I heard the mantra, we are the 99%, which is a Democratic statement. Meanwhile, don't these people realize that they've had a Democratic president for the last 4 years? In the first 2 years of his term, he had more power than any president in the history of this country, and he has done nothing.
Jim, why did you just say, what you just said made no sense. God bless you. We got to take a break from the top of the hour. Jim, you've called before. Just because you're nice to me when you call doesn't make you smart. You astound me, Jim. Anyway, last time he called, I asked him to do his homework before he calls. He didn't listen to me. All right, let's take the break. We're going to talk about immigration laws and the Supreme Court on the other side. We got a lot to get in the next hour. Stay with us. I am Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking the drive, we got one accident on 275 northbound at Ford Road that has your left shoulder blocked and a couple of slow spots. 696 westbound between DeQuinder and 75 and 75 southbound between 12 Mile and 696. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 60 degrees with a chance of showers in the early morning. Tonight, partly cloudy and 30. Tomorrow, 56 degrees and sunny. And it's currently 50 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 right here on 1310WDTW.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. Arizona's immigration enforcement law facing the supreme test. And after 80 minutes of oral arguments, Supreme Court justices are strongly hinting that they're ready to back the core of the law. NBC's Steve Handelsman.
Liberal Justice Stephen Breyer asked, if they, Arizona, just call the feds, what's the conflict? Liberal Justice Sonia Sotomayor, a Latina, warned the Obama lawyer about his case. You can see it's not selling very well.
At least four current and former TSA screeners are under arrest, accused of taking bribes to let cocaine through L.A. International Airport. The screeners allegedly allowed suitcases full of drugs to pass through security. Connecticut has killed the death penalty, Governor Malloy making it official, replacing execution with life without parole. And Burger King has announced a whopper of a shift in advocating more humane treatment of animals. The fast food giant says by 2017, all of its eggs and pork will come from chickens and pigs that aren't cooped up in cages. This is NBC News Radio. Former John Edwards aide Andrew Young takes the stand for a fourth straight day at the criminal trial of the former presidential candidate, NBC's Jay Gray.
The defense got their first shot at the state's star witness in the high-profile case, attacking inconsistencies between his testimony to this point and the tell-all book he's written about the affair.
Edwards accused of knowing about secret payments made to his mistress during the 2008 campaign. Heartening news from the Centers for Disease Control, cholesterol levels in America are dropping. Only 13% of U.S. adults have high cholesterol, a leading factor in heart attacks and strokes. This despite the fact that two-thirds of Americans are overweight. On Wall Street, stock futures point to a lower open after yesterday's surge, and Miss Dominican Republic has lost her crown because she's married. The pageant says contestants must be single, but it turns out 25-year-old Carlina Duran got hitched in 2009, a case where this miss misses out. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We don't just sell parts. We introduce exclusive best-in-class parts, like new Wherever Platinum, the overall best-performing ceramic brake pad available. According to an independent test, Wherever Platinum delivers better stopping power and a quieter stop compared to other leading brands. And new Wherever Platinum is only available at Advance Auto Parts. Service is our best part.
Advance Auto Parts.
Looking to update your appliances? Well, look no further. Lowe's has the major appliances you want at the prices you need. Right now, get 10% off major appliances $299 or more. Then, get going on your gardening and earn that green thumb. Head over to the nursery where one-quart Bonnie's vegetables are now just $2.50 each. Hurry into Lowe's for these and other great values every day. Lowe's, never stop improving. Offers valid through 4/30/12. See store for details.
There's a flood of corporate earnings on Wall Street this morning, with some well-known names like PepsiCo, ExxonMobil, and UPS set to report, and some already out. Aetna posting a 6% rise in revenue, even as profits dipped 13%. Dunkin' Brands, which runs both Dunkin' Donuts and Baskin-Robbins, swung to a profit from a loss a year ago. There's a marriage in the world of generic drugs. Watson Pharmaceuticals is buying another generic drug maker, Switzerland's activist group, for about $5.5 billion. The move will make Watson the world's third biggest generic drug maker from fourth place. Watson has seen a profit surge since it started selling an authorized generic version of cholesterol blockbuster Lipitor back in December. Wall Street may give back some of the yesterday's gains when trading begins this morning. Stock futures are slipping as traders wait for more profit reports and the weekly look at first-time jobless claims and then later pending home sales. S&P futures down 2.5 points. NASDAQ giving back 6. Dow futures in the red now by 22. I'm Steve Potusk in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Referrals.
Simple word, right? To a small business, referrals are solid gold. So how do you stir them up? Email marketing from ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get easy-to-use templates to showcase your business with photos and coupons. And best of all, it's easy for your customers to pass them along to others. In other words, help you generate the almighty referral. Plans as low as $15 a month. Get your free 60-day trial at ConstantContact.com and let the referrals begin.
Does your business thrive by serving other businesses? Would you like a healthy, steady flow of B2B leads that are customized to grow sales? Hoovers has developed a best-in-class lead generation tool that makes it easy for you to find targeted leads for your business. You'll be amazed at how easy it is to get the right leads fast. Try it today for free. Get 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial. Just call 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011.
Hello, State Farm.
Hi, can I bundle my auto, home, and life policies together at State Farm?
You could save hundreds, and you can deal with just one State Farm agent.
Just one?
Just me.
I won't be bandied off to some bungling bargain basement bailiwick in East Bumstumble?
Nope, only me.
No BS, no baloney, and no ballyhooed bundling bunkum?
Believe it.
No matter how many policies you have, it can all stay with one State Farm agent.
Bless you.
Better.
Beyond better. Bye.
Bye.
Get to a better state. Call 1-800-STATE-FARM today.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We don't just put oil on sale. Oh, no. We bring mind-blowing value every day. Right now, buy a 5-plus quart jug of Peak conventional motor oil with filter for just $9.99 after $5 mail-in rebate. That's an oil change special for less than $10. Mind blown. Budget not blown. Advance Auto Parts. Service is our best part.
Advance Auto Parts.
Free rebate oil price, $14.99.
It's the same each time with progress. First they ignore you.
Then they say you're mad.
Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now welcome back, folks. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Thursday, the 26th day of April 2012. I've got a very busy hour, so let me quickly just say hello to my brothers and sisters of the UAW. I just received a text from, I think it's my buddy Dave, that he's on a bus with 50 UAW brothers and sisters going to New York City for the NFL draft to confront the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. You'll remember we talked about that last week. He owns Fluxengate, Chromecraft, the company that is polluting not only in Highland Park, other places around the country, and maybe responsible for an insidious and invasive attack, a cancer attack on innocent people that live in the communities in which his businesses are located. So great to hear you guys are listening on the bus, and of course, be safe, and look forward to hearing how that goes when you come back. This hour is busy, as I said. So at the bottom of the hour, House Minority Leader Richard Hamill will be with us to talk about the Republican-controlled budget. He's got plenty to say, plenty for you to hear. Occupy Detroit occupies First Shift. But for those of us that are paying attention to all the news, not just some of the news, the Supreme Court yesterday heard arguments in Arizona versus the United States of America. Basically, as many of you are aware, Arizona has a law that immigration law that has been quite invasive, and for many this is an issue of human rights. Interestingly enough, not for this Supreme Court, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But the question, and if you again were paying attention to what happened yesterday, listening to the questioning, you need to wonder, or you need to now be scratching your head, because it seems that some of us see this very differently than a conservative United States Supreme Court does. With that said, I want to go to somebody that is far more learned in these things than I am, and somebody that can comment on them in a much more profound way than I ever will. So let me go to my next guest. Elizabeth Weidger joins us now. Elizabeth is the Constitutional Accountability Center's Chief counsel and frequently participates in Supreme Court litigation and has argued several important cases in the federal courts of appeals. Elizabeth joined CAC from private practice in San Francisco, where she was an attorney working with former law school dean Kathleen Sullivan in the firm's Supreme Court appellate practice. She joined us today to talk about what happened yesterday and if there are clues in the questioning yesterday that might give us an indication what the Supreme Court may say when all is said and done. Elizabeth, I want to welcome you to First Shift. Thanks for giving some of your time this morning.
So much for having me on this.
It's my pleasure. Truly, I'm really looking forward to this discussion as we take a look at this and other laws, because what's happening in Arizona has happened in other states. So what the Supreme Court decides after hearing arguments yesterday does have a significant impact, not just state by state, but with federal law as well. Or do I not understand that correctly? We're having some problems with her cell phone, so I'm going to let Jeff see if he can correct that, and then we'll come back to her, because it won't make a whole lot of sense to stumble through this until we get the cell phone fixed, and Jeff will let me know when that is. For those of you that are not aware of what I'm talking about, let me just quickly give you some background. Yesterday, the U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments in the state of Arizona versus United States, which challenges the constitutionality of Arizona's Senate Bill 1070. This is the controversial repressive immigration legislation passed 2 years ago that many believe violates civil liberties and constitutional rights. Senate Bill 1070 opened the way to similar legislation such as House Bill 56 in Alabama. Cindy Estrada from the UAW talked to us about that. And Senate Bill 20 in South Carolina. Georgia and Utah also have passed so-called copycat laws, and several other states are in the process. There actually has been some talk about this in Michigan as well. The state of Arizona argues that it has the inherent authority to enforce civil immigration laws without any authorization from the federal government. Here's the one of the critical pieces. The federal district and appeals courts agreed with the Department of Justice that these provisions in Arizona's law were preempted by federal law and therefore were temporarily barred from going into effect. We do have Elizabeth Weidra back, and Elizabeth, thank you so much. Sometimes technology fails us.
Yes, well, AT&T.
Well, we got you now, so we're good to go, and I appreciate that, and we hear you loud and clear. Again, let's just go back and talk about the importance of what happened yesterday, because these are questions that do affect everybody, not just in the individual states where these laws or copycat laws may be prevalent, that what happens with this Supreme Court decision does affect us everywhere.
Yeah, and it really is important, because the founders of our nation who wrote the Constitution specifically gave the federal government the power to speak with one voice for our nation with respect to immigration and foreign affairs. And so the Solicitor General, Don Verrilli, made this argument to the court yesterday saying, look, the way that we treat non-citizens and nationals of other countries within our borders is a serious matter that has foreign affairs implications that affects everyone in the United States. So what Arizona or Alabama or Utah chooses to do in harassing people in its state, so much so that they, as Arizona puts it, self-deport, that has implications for the country as a whole. And that's why individual states should not be setting immigration policy like Arizona.
It seems to me, as I was doing some preparation for this today, and actually I've known we were going to have you on for a few days now, so I've been following this over the last couple of days. Judge Roberts actually said we need to be careful here that everybody understands what we're deciding, and this isn't at least to this Supreme Court, they're not deciding the issue of human rights here. I thought that was extraordinary. And then, of course, that's my liberal leaning, so Elizabeth, we'll understand my bias going into this discussion. But how do you have this discussion without it being about human rights?
Yeah, you know, so it was rather surprising, both substantively and as a Supreme Court advocate, see Chief Justice Roberts before Solicitor General Verrilli really got a word or two out in his portion of the argument time. There's general custom that you at least let the lawyer get a sentence or two out, even with this very, what you call a hot bench. The Supreme Court asks a lot of questions. But, Chief Justice Roberts said, I just want to be clear, you are not making an argument about racial profiling. And Solicitor General Verrilli said, that's correct. And in a sense, it is correct. There are other lawsuits that have been filed against Arizona's law and, of course, these other laws claiming that they violate civil liberties and constitutional rights by enacting a policy of discrimination. And basically, I haven't heard anyone give a really good answer as to what a reasonable suspicion that someone is in the country illegally is if it isn't racial profiling. But Solicitor General Verrilli and Chief Justice Roberts were correct in one sense that these other lawsuits deal with those concerns exclusively, and the United States' suit is about the supremacy of federal law and the technical doctrine of preemption. But at the same time, you can't really take those concerns out of the case, because part of the reason that states are not allowed to engage in their own immigration policy, and part of the reason that the federal government has the authority to regulate immigration, is because they take into account this delicate balancing act of securing our borders and respecting civil rights and making sure that our foreign affairs implications of the way that we treat people within our borders are taken into account, and to ensure, as the Supreme Court has recognized in earlier cases, that it's a federal interest to ensure that there is not undue harassment of citizens and non-citizens. And so while the case isn't technically about racial profiling, it's about preemption. Those concerns and the harassment of citizens to the point where they, of non-citizens to the point where they self-deport, that is something that is of interest to the federal government and is part of the reason why the federal government and not the states gets to set immigration policy, because they can take into account, and the Constitution entrusts the federal government to take into account all of these various concerns and to have a uniform, the Constitution specifies uniform rule of naturalization, which includes immigration and the way that we, who we let into our country, who we choose to deport from our country, and the conditions under which aliens live in our country.
Absolutely.
That's federal.
Elizabeth, we need to take a quick break. Please stay with us. Elizabeth Weidner is my guest. She is with the Constitutional Accountability Center. We're talking about the U.S. Supreme Court's consideration of Arizona versus the United States and the implications of that on all of us. We do need to take a very quick break here. We're up against the clock. I'm Tony Truppiano on First Shift. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
And you guys vote Republican. I'm not supposed to. This isn't political. So I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do. You're on your own, Jack.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
We have a new accident in the Canton area. It has your left shoulder blocked on 275 northbound at Ford Road. You also got some slow spots. 696 westbound between DeQuinder and 75. 75 northbound between West Road and Sibley Road. And 75 southbound between 14 Mile and 696. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 60 degrees with a chance of showers in the early morning. Tonight, partly cloudy and 30. Tomorrow, 56 degrees and sunny. And it's currently 50 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
Attention, passionate Democrats all over Michigan.
The Michigan Democratic Party is proud to announce their annual fundraiser, the Jeff Jack Dinner.
Will be held this year on Saturday, April 28th.
And your attendance is required. They are thrilled to welcome to Michigan Robert Gibbs, senior advisor to Obama for America and a true friend of Michigan, as the former press secretary for our own Senator Debbie Stabenow, as well as to President Obama. In addition to an amazing dinner at Cobo Center, this year marks the inaugural after party that is a can't-miss event.
And is included in the price of your dinner ticket.
Whether you have attended in the past or this is your first time, the Jeff Jack Dinner is one of the most exciting events for Democrats, and it is literally a must attend for those of us who care about the Michigan Democratic Party. Just go to MichiganDems.com/JeffJack to purchase your tickets now.
That's MichiganDems.com/JeffJack.
And reserve your spot to one of the most exciting political nights of the year. We'll look forward to seeing you there.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for great?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook, and also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
There are some that say that there are as many as 11 million illegal immigrants here in the country, in the United States, and the immigration policy is essentially under federal government control. Some states, especially border states, have decided to take the law into their own hands. The constitutionality of that, of course, is at question. And the Supreme Court of the United States is now hearing a case that, again, is entitled Arizona versus United States. My guest, again, is Elizabeth Wydra. She is the with the Constitutional Accountability Center. And by the way, their website is theusconstitution.org. And she's here today to talk to us about the U.S. Supreme Court yesterday and and perhaps in this next segment, she'll get out her crystal ball and tell us what she believes that, based on the questioning that went on. In fact, Elizabeth, why don't we pick it up there? Based on the questioning that did happen yesterday, if you were to pull out a crystal ball, what do you think they're going to decide on this question?
Well, it's always a risky business to try to predict what the Supreme Court's going to do based on oral argument. A lot of times they'll ask questions that are designed to sort of probe the flaws in certain arguments or to persuade their colleagues. But, it was pretty clear yesterday that the justices had concerns with some of the provisions of SB 1070. It's important to remember that there are four provisions of the law that have been blocked from going into effect. The most controversial and well-known of those provisions, of course, is the show-me-your-papers provision that allows a law enforcement officer to stop someone and ask for their immigration papers and to verify their citizenship. And that provision in particular, a lot of the justices, Chief Justice Roberts in particular, was very aggressive about this. They didn't seem to have a problem with that. And their argument was, well, look, you're basically just having the state officers tell the federal government this person is here unlawfully. You're not making the federal government deport them. But, you know, I frankly would not be surprised if the court allowed the show me your papers provision to go into effect. There are the other provisions of the law that place criminal sanctions on undocumented immigrants who seek work in Arizona, and the criminalization in Arizona of merely being undocumented. I think that those provisions, it seems like a majority of the justices would continue to block as likely to be held unconstitutional. But I think it could be a split decision. And, I think that a lot of people were surprised that there wasn't sort of the deep concerns about the papers provision that, frankly, there should have been.
Well, you know, and Elizabeth, certainly, again, I said this earlier, I'll say it again, my liberal leanings come out when we talk about these particular issues. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free. This idea that we somehow have built this wonderful country and this economy that will, I guess, in a naively support whatever it needs to support, we know that's not true. But at the end of the day, how is it that we can say we are that beacon of light on the hill and at the same time say, well, we are that, but well, listen, you need to do things in a certain way, and since you're not doing it, listen, I know it's uncomfortable for you, but you need to go somewhere else. And now, you know, we think that we're just going to let you self-police yourself or whatever it is that you're going to do, but you need to get out of here. We can't deal with you folks anymore. 11 million illegal immigrants in this country. Okay, maybe that's a problem, but is this the way to deal with it?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's Arizona's SB 1070 law puts into place a policy that they call attrition through enforcement, which basically requires creating such a hostile environment that immigrants choose to leave the state on their own.
And I don't mean to be rude, but think about that in and of itself as an American value.
Yeah, you know, it chips away at our DNA as a nation of immigrants. And, you know, it's I think it's something that is very concerning, and I think, frankly, it was a little surprising that we didn't see more of a pushback on that. I mean, you know, the idea of papers, please, is just not American, and I was surprised that there wasn't more of a pushback in the court yesterday on that.
Yeah, I was too. I was too. You know, again, I appreciate at a very real level that, you know, I don't live in Arizona, so maybe, Elizabeth, it's a little more difficult for me to comprehend what they deal with. But I do live in a border state. Michigan is a border state. We have a very porous border, in fact, and with of course, Canada. And there are lots of things that happen. I read the paper. I pay attention to what's going on. So I understand the need for clear immigration policy. But I have to ask the obvious question in the little bit of time we have left. Is the federal government failing in such a profound way that the states have to step in and trump what the federal government is doing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, no one's saying that the immigration system that we have is perfect. And I think a lot of folks would say, you know, what's happening with Arizona and other states points to the need for comprehensive immigration reform at the federal level. But there are many people in the immigrants' rights community who think that the Obama administration has been too aggressive in enforcing and its right to deport people. So, you know, there are two sides to this story, and I think that Arizona, even if they think that the federal government is not doing a good enough job, that doesn't mean that they get to usurp the federal government's constitutionally delegated exclusive power over immigration policy and the foreign affairs concerns that it implicates.
Well, there's no question. Again, there is no question that these are things that need to be discussed and debated. I would be one of those people that believes that the Obama administration has been a little more aggressive than I am comfortable with. You know, I stop and think of where I would be if my great-grandparents weren't allowed to do what they were able to do, to enter this country and to, you know, have a realistic shot and work very hard to do what they were, you know, able to accomplish. And, you know, and so they're, we all have these little success stories, right? They're important. So this idea, Elizabeth, that we would, I don't know, at some level talk out of both sides of our mouth on this issue has always been offensive to me. When I was a candidate for Congress, I had a real problem with this issue because, you know, listen, I really believe we should just provide amnesty for every illegal and find a way to get him to fit. But again, that's my liberal leaning. We're going to pay attention to this story. Elizabeth, we just out of time for today. I want to thank you very much. I really appreciate your commentary on this, and thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Tony. Great to be with you.
Absolutely. Elizabeth Weidger, once again, the website, the U.S. Constitution. .org. We'll take the break. Minority Leader Hamill on the other side of this, a conversation you don't want to miss.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Couple of accidents and a disabled vehicle causing problems. On 75 southbound at Dixie Highway, that disabled vehicle has your right lane blocked. An accident has your shoulder blocked on US 23 southbound before M14. And 275 northbound at Ford Road, that accident has your left shoulder blocked. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 60 degrees with a chance of showers in the early morning. Tonight, partly cloudy and 30. Tomorrow, 56 degrees and sunny. And it's currently 50 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. The U.S. Senate was poised Wednesday to vote on an overhaul of the U.S. Postal Service. The National Association of Letter Carriers opposes SB 1789 unless amendments are added that preserve door-to-door and Saturday mail deliveries and end the requirement that the Postal Service spend $5 billion a year pre-funding retirement accounts. That requirement and the Great Recession are largely to blame for the Postal Service deficits. The Letter Carriers Union says unless amended, the Senate bill would slowly dismantle the Postal Service and wipe out as many as 200,000 jobs. About 1,000 workers and activists made the people's voice heard at GE's shareholder meeting in Detroit Wednesday, demanding that GE pay its fair share of taxes. The UAW, the UFCW, and SEIU came together with Occupy Detroit, community activists, and a Wisconsin contingent to protest in the streets at GE's meeting. It's part of the nationwide 99% Spring civil disobedience actions. They also raised the voices of the 99% inside GE's Detroit stockholder meeting, disrupting it to demand that GE pay its fair share of taxes.
We have a simple message. Big corporations like GE need to pay their fair share.
Right?
Yeah.
I find it very unfair that GE does not have to pay a penny in federal taxes, but they get this huge federal refund tax back. And I don't know about you, but I can't even afford to buy their products.
We are the United States! We are the United States! We are the United States!
We must fight! We must fight! We must fight! We must fight!
Michigan could be on its way to repealing a controversial emergency financial manager law, Jesse Russell reports.
Today, the Board of State Canvassers will determine if enough ballot signatures have been collected to put a repeal of the law on the November ballot. Michiganders were required to collect 161,305 signatures to secure a spot on the ballot, but instead, they collected 203,238, more than 40,000 signatures above the required amount. If the signatures are verified and the repeal is placed on the ballot, put a hold on the law until the outcome of the elections are determined. Michigan's success in collecting enough signatures follows an effort by Wisconsinites to recall Governor Scott Walker, who attacked the collective bargaining rights of state workers last year, and Ohio's successful effort to repeal that governor's bill stripping state workers of collective bargaining rights. Michigan Governor Rick Scott expanded the powers of emergency financial managers last year.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trivio.
On 1310.
WDTW.
35 minutes after the hour. When do numbers matter? Let me give you a number. HB, that would be House Bill 5365. 5365, obviously the number. I'm not being a smartass. Follow me here for a moment. What you really need to do this morning is you need to get on the phone and you need to tell your state representatives, I don't care if they're Republicans or Democrats. The good news is there isn't a Democrat that voted for 5365. But what it is an omnibus, and I'll explain in a minute what that means, an omnibus bill that really is sleight of hand at its highest form. This is theater, political theater of the absurd. Of the absurd. The House budget that was passed yesterday may be the worst piece of legislation this incredibly inept legislature has passed, and that's saying something. All right, let's turn our attention now to my next guest. No stranger to this audience. Joining us now is Minority House Leader Richard Hamel and Representative Hamel. I got to tell you, when the omnibus bill came across my desk yesterday afternoon via email, I stopped dead in my tracks and said, what the hell are they doing? I can't even imagine the words that came out of your mouth.
Yeah, you can imagine what what many of us on the floor had to say when it was presented to us, which we had known for quite some time through some committees that this was a pretty horrible budget for people in the state, and does everything from, you know, cutting education, cutting seniors, and to removing transparency provisions on what's being spent, rolling up line items so you don't have an opportunity to see just exactly what's going on. Many, many things that are included in it that are very troublesome, and it's just really status quo for what they have been doing, the Republicans have been doing in this session.
What happened to accountability? I know this is something that you ask for. I'm not, you know, and this audience needs to be aware, the Democrats literally throughout, I don't even know how many amendments to this omnibus budget bill that of course were just summarily dismissed, not considered. What happened to accountability, Representative Hamel? Where is this idea that we have, as voters, have a right to know how our money is being spent?
Well, I think that they've gotten away with that. I've served for 4 years before this term. And Democratic House members in appropriations process put accountability measures in budgets on a Democratic governor. And in this case, you just don't see that. You don't see the Republican members making an effort to be sure that money is spent wisely and controlling costs by department heads where it's something that needs to be done and watching over what's going on. It's almost like they'd want to turn a blind eye on what's happening because they have complete control. And, you know, people need to realize that these elections have consequences, and the things that are happening now need to be undone, which means we need to be engaged next time, and I hope that people understand that.
Well, let me make sure that I understand this, because I want to make sure my audience understands this. If I understand this budget, and the worst part is we're going to get to the education piece of it today, so what we're talking about here is all non-education. But if I understand this budget correctly, it costs us more jobs, yes?
Yes.
All right. And we're going to get to come back to corrections in just a moment. I think that if I'm reading this correctly, this makes our communities less safe because we are still not going to do the right thing with regard to revenue sharing. Do I understand that properly?
Yes, that is absolutely true.
All right. And so the same people that ran on this idea, and of course they're all up for re-election in the House this year, that they're going to create jobs, the Republicans that said that, is there anything in this omnibus budget bill, this 5365, that creates a single job?
There's nothing in there that I can point to that it does. And as you had mentioned earlier, that there are things in there that will eliminate jobs. And the corrections budget, which is one you're going to get to, is the most glaring.
Now, let's get to it right now. Listen, there are two things that I have a problem with in that as a voter, as somebody that pays their taxes. And I do pay my taxes, I assure you. A couple things that bother me. Number one, that they're going to eliminate almost 500 jobs. But number two, the word privatization keeps creeping into the corrections side of the equation. We have determined on this program through independent study that privatization actually costs the state of Michigan more money than just leaving it alone. So where's the benefit to us as taxpayers to privatize corrections?
There really is no benefit at all. I mean, those men and women who work in our prisons have the hardest job there is. I mean, they deal with folks who are constantly looking for ways to harm them and sometimes kill them. And we are going to eliminate, privatize, cut pay, cut benefits to those folks who are protecting us. So we want to send people to prison because of the crimes that they commit. But when we send them there, we have a party here that wants to privatize those prisons so we don't give the people the necessary tools to protect us and protect themselves while they're in that job. And eliminating, closing a prison, eliminating 1,100 jobs to privatize it without any provisions that tells you what you're going to do with them folks is just irresponsible, and that's what's happening now.
Well, you know, interestingly, yesterday, right before I had to go give a speech last night, Representative Hamilton, right before I did that, I sent off an email to Representative Tom McMillan's office. Tom, of course, a Republican from the Rochester area, who I'm not asking you to comment on this part. I call him public enemy number one. There's nothing this man has done that is appropriate for public consumption. Everything he touches is about paying homage to his corporate masters. With that being said, I want him on this show because I want him to answer if he wants to. He throws out amendments yesterday about measurables. I'd like some measurables on his job performance. Because if we actually are going to publicly start, publishing the measurables, maybe it's time that we do that with our representatives and our senators. Because I think what we'll find out is they've done exactly how we started off this interview. Yeah, I know I'm real angry this morning. I apologize if I'm a little too angry for you. But this is just wrong because at the end of the day, we now have found another sector, corrections, to take away jobs, just as we have with public sector, just as we did with teachers and support staff. It seems that all the Republicans care about are taking care of those that funded their campaigns. They don't seem to care about people like me.
Right. Well, we've seen that in all this time, and it's always very interesting when people run on, I've seen bumper stickers in the parking lot that says friends don't raise taxes on friends or whatever the heck it is in Republican cars, but yet they voted to raise taxes on seniors and are funding some of these things that they want to do on the backs of people who can least afford it, which is a typical response that I have seen over this past year plus. And many members who have said, look, I'm hardcore against taxes and hardcore against or for transparency, have completely gone away from that with their votes. And accountability is important, and I hope that people hold them accountable for the decisions that they've made.
Now, I want to remind people, you're from the Mount Morris Township area, Flint area. You probably represent, I don't know, the microcosm of what Middle America stands for. You truly do. Where you live is a snapshot of what average America is. I just can't imagine, as I know that you genuinely get up every morning, you and I have had this discussion, wanting to make a difference for the people in your community that are struggling, to turn around and to see that your colleagues, these are people that are supposed to be on the same page with you, unfortunately, they happen to be on the other side of the aisle, don't seem to understand. They really don't seem to understand. There's this huge disconnect between what they do and what that means for people like you and I.
Yeah, you're right, and you have hit my area right on the head. It's no different from the your listening area when it comes to the Detroit area, the struggles, the strong labor area, the people in urban settings that have that have to deal with the crime issues, but yet seeing reductions in property values as well as the reductions in revenue sharing for the local communities that they serve. Flint's new budget in EM now has eliminated 19 police officers, as well as charging more people for water, as well as for garbage now because of what's happened here, and the reductions in revenue sharing, and the reductions in revenue sharing to Detroit has been criminal, in my opinion, because deal's a deal, and that's what's put Detroit in the position that they're in by starving their governmental services, and it's a shame, but it's happening all over the state.
Ultimately, I think it's a fair question. Ultimately, this is about priorities, Representative Hamill, isn't it? About priorities. I mean, because it's not, people can make the argument. Well, listen, if you don't have the money, you don't have the money. That's not what this budget's about. It's not about not having the money. It's about prioritizing where our money goes. Right.
Yes. And I think, and we'll see today. I mean, we've seen the significant cuts to education in the last budget. Those cuts were not restored in this budget at all. And they claim that there's part of it that has been done, but no. And here we've now expanded charter schools in the last time. And today, my understanding is we're going to take up cyber schools, which is another opportunity to suck money away from public schools in the state of Michigan, which is really the backbone of education that the state has expected for many, many years. And now we're going to go out in a different direction, and all those folks who are in the public schools are going to suffer because of it.
Well, there's no question, and we're going to certainly here keep our eye on what's happening. Don't be surprised if you get a call from us later on today to come on and talk tomorrow about education. You know, it seems to me, and as we wrap things up today, it seems to me, and this is just clear, part of the speech I gave last night was real simple. You know, put partisanship aside. Put philosophy, ideology aside for a moment. Just ask yourself the simple question, Representative Hamill. Is what this legislature doing represent what's best for my family and my community? Answer that question and then vote appropriately. That's all I'm saying anymore. It's not about Democrat or Republican. To me, it's about right or wrong. Thank you for your time today.
Anytime, Tony. Just give me a call. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Representative Rick Hamill, the minority leader in the House of Michigan House of Representatives. All right, Occupy Detroit on the other side of this. Folks, stay with us. This is insane, but it's going to get worse before it gets better. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
I'm in this race because I care about Americans. I'm not concerned about the very poor. We have a safety net there. You can choose where to focus. You can focus on the rich. That's not my focus. You can focus on the very poor. It's not my focus.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
The 2012 Michigan Summit has an ambitious goal in mind, reaching across movements, geography, race, and gender to provide people, skills, and the ideas they need to make the American dream a possibility for all of us in 2012. Follow their lead and register today by going to themichigansummit.org. The Michigan Summit is hosted by Progress Michigan and generously supported by the Arcus Foundation and sponsors like the American Federation of Teachers, Michigan Voice, Service Employees International Union, America Votes, and many more.
Please join Progress Michigan on Saturday, May 12, 2012, at the Kellogg Center in East Lansing, Michigan, beginning at 8 a.m. in what promises to be an amazing day of activities, including the dynamic keynote speakers George Goel and Barbara Arnwine. Don't delay your registration. Just go to themichigansummit.org and register now to guarantee your seat for what will be an amazing day of activism and empowerment. Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift,
Bruce Felk, who is the spokesperson for Michigan Rising.
Call me crazy, but I'm hoping we can have 50,000 people show up in Lansing on May 5th. We're actually going to, we're inviting the other folks. We're calling it a democracy buffet. Any other groups that are circulating petitions for the November ballot are welcome to come and offer their petitions for signature to the citizens of Michigan also on that day.
A democracy buffet, I like that.
First Shift with Tony on 1310 WDTW.
Occupy Detroit! Occupy Detroit! Occupy Detroit!
They're chanting, we're standing right in the middle of this rally, and they're saying that they're tired of corporate greed. They've had it.
Absolutely. I'm part of the 99% that's fed up with the egregious behavior of the 1%. From now on, we occupy all streets.
The movement is resonating with cities across the country. It began as that Occupy Wall Street effort.
The movement to Occupy Wall Street coming to Detroit.
The world will not change unless the way we talk about it changes.
We can just get that message across. It'll hopefully start some change.
Dozens of UAW members showed up to support the protesters.
We're losing our homes. We're losing our jobs. Union workers are facing a terrible time at the bargaining table, and workers who don't have unions are even worse off.
Time for Occupy Detroit to Occupy First Shift.
It is that time, as we do every day. We now turn our attention to Stephen Boyle with the Occupy Detroit movement. And, of course, the conversation we have today affects lots of people. You know, let's be mindful before we bring Stephen on the show here. Let's be mindful that sometimes, even if something doesn't necessarily, and think about this for a moment, touch you, that doesn't mean that it doesn't impact you. And I want you to think about what that means before we have our conversation with Stephen Boyle. Because I think oftentimes we kind of disassociate or disconnect, and there's some danger in that. So keep an open mind as we move forward. Stephen, thanks for joining us this morning. I appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having me on the show, Tony.
No, my pleasure.
You know, the opportunity.
No, it's always a pleasure I love doing this segment every day. I really do, because there's so much. Well, there's so much to talk about, and you know, Stephen, the good news is we're actually making a difference. I mean, you've got to feel a little bit empowered by that, no?
Yeah, I think it's great that we've got busloads of people headed out to back the repeal of PA4, the emergency manager law. Part of the people that are headed out there right now are from a group that I'm part with called Free Detroit No Consent. They are on the bus going to Lansing. And one thing that we need to make sure happens is that one of the people from the Board of Canvassers, Jeffrey Timmer, who is a partner at Sterling Corporation and also a board member on the State Board of Canvassers, decides to recuse himself from the vote.
Yeah, and that one, and I actually posted that to our Facebook page yesterday. If we have time, we'll come back to that. But let's get into let's talk a little bit about cuts to transit and human services and really how that's been such a major impact on our region.
Well, transportation right now, we're seeking to speak with transit riders on April 30th. If people need to get in touch with somebody, it's being done by New CC, which is North End Woodward Community Coalition. It's one of the neighborhoods around Detroit, and they're impacted by the light rail initiative that is pulled. And they're also right there along the Woodward Path and wondering about all the service changes. And I was at the True report card filing for DDOT on Monday, and they got a D-, which is a little bit of a step up from the F. But really, when you reduce the number of buses and then you start monitoring whether they're on time, so you got fewer buses on the road, and you figure if they're full that you're doing better. Well, Of course, you reduce the number of buses, you fill the buses better, it looks better. Right. But people are being, they're not being served at the in the way that they need to be served on time and at all hours. I'm still a big advocate for 24-hour coverage. And part of what Occupy Detroit is going to be doing is a May Day march, and we're also going to be staging a reoccupation of Grand Circus Park in opposition to the municipal code that indicates that parks are going to be closing at 10 o'clock, and it also opposes the declaration in the municipal code that we are not able to commit to hold an assembly in the park without a permit. This is a attack on our freedom of assembly, and we cannot have that.
You know, again, we'll take this step by step. Let's start with transit. We talked with somebody a couple of days ago about how transit has impacted his children on and their ability to get to school. We start to look at the Detroit Department of Transportation and the promises made, promises broken. And now, of course, it becomes an issue of money. You make a profoundly important point that, and we need to be careful that when we assess this stuff, we assess it appropriately, which, of course, you have done, Stephen Boyle. But we take a look at, yeah, okay, so there are less buses, which means maybe it's a little easier for them to manage that, so maybe they're a little bit more on schedule. But the bottom line is we're serving less people with less resources, and therefore we're doing a greater disservice than it might look like on the surface. That's really the story there, but that's the real story. It's not that the buses are showing up on time or within 5 minutes of their posted time. It's that there are fewer people being served.
And they're even showing up early, which is as good as not even showing up on time, which that's a matter of making sure the bus drivers are running on schedule, which some of them are doing a better job. I mean, I was on a bus last night that was crawling down the street at 20 miles an hour. But I know he was hitting his times, and that's what matters sometimes, is not to hurry everybody down there. It's to take care of the schedule, because the schedule serves people. I wanted to go back over to the Free Detroit No Consent Group, because I want to talk about the Department of Human Services.
Sure.
Detroit Department of Human Services is being attacked in some ways by the Michigan Department of Human Services, which is led by Maura Corrigan, and she had Stephanie Komai have a public hearing on Monday at the Cadillac building, and entered onto the record was a request for the monitoring report detailing changes to the Detroit Department of Human Services, but we were told that we had to submit a FOIA for the information, which on the guide for the Community Service Block Grants indicates that the state is to allow the eligible entity to develop and implement their plan within 60 days after being informed of a deficiency. Nobody in the room had seen the monitoring report. Also entered into the record was the Auditor General report from December addressing Michigan Department of Human Services has not complied with the request from 2007 audit to address the training programs, which makes Michigan Department of Human Services complicit in the de-designation request and unable to truly make that request.
Well, gee, Stephen, you would think that a former Supreme Court justice would know that she's breaking the law.
Well, yeah, she knows it, and she continues to break it. And there's a trail there that runs there's a money trail, and it involves turning children in impoverished families into pharmaceutical test beds with psychotropic drugs. When you create a special needs person, you ensure that money comes to that person for their treatment. It also goes into the foster care system, and it also goes to parents that decide that they're going to submit their children to the medication because it does ensure that they get additional funds.
All right, we're just out of
really
time.
It's dumbing down.
No question. Stephen Boyle, we're just out of time for today, unfortunately. We'll revisit this. Of course, appreciate your time, as always. Yeah. Occupy
Sunday
Detroit.
Sunday, we're doing a beautiful thing, too. Sunday is the Inter-Occupy meeting over at 5900 Activist Center.
Oh,
it's
great.
Huge. We've got people coming from all across the country, and including General Victor Houston from the original Black Panthers.
All right. Stephen Boyle, thank you so much. We've got to take a break for the top of the hour. Kevin Moore, Teamsters Local 299 on the other side. Stay with us.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by McDonald's.
An accident is causing problems on 94 eastbound just before the Southfield Freeway. It has your right shoulder block, and that's causing slow traffic from Pelham Road. Over on US 23 southbound just before M14, an accident has your shoulder block, and that's causing slow traffic from Silver Lake Road. And we still got that stalled vehicle that's blocking your right shoulder on 75 southbound at Dix Highway. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Drive through McDonald's and try a new Daily Double. It's two beef patties with cheese, lettuce, tomato, mayo, and onions. You could try it for just $1.89. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 60 degrees with a chance of showers in the early morning. Tonight, partly cloudy and 30. Tomorrow, 56 degrees and sunny. And it's currently 50 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim McLeshevsky. It's back to the stand for John Edwards' accuser. NBC's Lisa Meyer says the former aide, Andrew Young, painting a picture of deceit orchestrated by the former presidential candidate.
How much Young has been able to hurt Edwards will be determined by the jury, and whether it believes Young's claim that Edwards knew about money used to hide his mistress, which amounted to illegal campaign contribution.
The soldier accused of giving government secrets to WikiLeaks will face a court-martial. The military judge in the case of 24-year-old PFC Bradley Manning refusing to toss out the charges. Manning faces 100 years in prison if convicted. Wall Street back on the plus side thanks to Apple's huge first quarter performance, but stock futures point to profit-taking this morning. And a new wrinkle in the treatment of migraines and chronic headaches. Botox injections have been found to offer relief. Patients receiving the popular wrinkle remover average two fewer headaches a month. This is NBC News Radio. The Donald is tilting at windmills in Scotland. The billionaire developer Donald Trump swept into Scotland's parliament demanding the country end plans for an offshore wind farm he fears will spoil the view at his exclusive new billion-dollar golf resort. Trump warns if Scotland pursues wind power, the country will go broke. Burger King is the new darling of the Humane Society, announcing by 2017 it will stop using eggs and pork from chickens and hogs that are cooped up in cages. CNBC's Jackie DeAngelis says it could be the start of something big.
Burger King uses hundreds of millions of eggs, tens of millions of pounds of pork each year. So the move could sway other chains and suppliers to change some of their practices as well.
And it's a different breed of TV. A cable concern in San Diego called Dog TV features programming for pooches designed to keep your dog stimulated and entertained while you're at work, which can be rough. Watch out, Rover. Dog TV's going nationwide. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Jim McLeshevsky, NBC News Radio.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We don't just sell parts. We introduce exclusive best-in-class parts, like new Wearever Platinum, the overall best-performing ceramic brake pad available. According to an independent test, Wearever Platinum delivers better stopping power and a quieter stop compared to other leading brands. And new Wearever Platinum is only available at Advance Auto Parts. Service is our best part.
Advance Auto Parts.
If you've ever wanted to design your own ring, there's only one place to go.
That's Jared!
At Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry, it's easy to create a ring that's yours and yours alone. First, choose from hundreds of beautiful settings. Then select from thousands of certified diamonds, including the Peerless Diamond, the Ideal Cut Diamond, and the spectacular Leo Artisan, both exclusively at Jared.
It can only be Jared!
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
Shares of Watson Pharmaceuticals jumping more than 6% pre-market now that the maker of the generic form of the popular cholesterol drug Lipitor is getting bigger. The company will spend about $5.5 billion to buy Swiss drug maker Actavis. Watson says the deal will allow it to compete better with generic drug rivals. Fee-hungry banks looking to attract low-income customers. The New York Times says more big banks are aggressively courting those low-income customers with alternative products that carry high fees. Products like check cashing accounts or short-term loans loans were largely untouched by recent financial regulations. Also, they help banks make up the billions in lost income from recent limits on debt and credit card fees. A flood of profit reports, including better-than-expected results from PepsiCo, Dunkin' Brands, Time Warner Cable, and Raytheon, not doing much for stock futures ahead of a report on jobless claims. Right now, S&P futures are down about a point, NASDAQ giving back 2.5 points, while Dow futures are falling by 3. I'm Steve Podolsky in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Referrals. Simple word, right? To a small business, referrals are solid gold. So how do you stir them up? Email marketing from ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get easy-to-use templates to showcase your business with photos and coupons. And best of all, it's easy for your customers to pass them along to others. In other words, help you generate the almighty referral. Plans as low as $15 a month. Get your free 60-day trial at ConstantContact.com and let the referrals begin.
Does your business thrive by serving other businesses? Would you like a healthy, steady flow of B2B leads that are customized to grow sales? Hoovers has developed a best-in-class lead generation tool that makes it easy for you to find targeted leads for your business. You'll be amazed at how easy it is to get the right leads fast. Try it today for free. Get 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial. Just call 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011.
Hello, State Farm.
Hi, can I bundle my auto, home, and life policies together at State Farm?
You could save hundreds, and you can deal with just one State Farm agent.
Just one?
Just me.
I won't be bandied off to some bungling bargain basement bailiwick in East Bumstumble?
Nope, only me.
No BS, no baloney, and no ballyhooed bundling bunkum?
Believe it.
No matter how many policies you have, it can all stay with one State Farm agent.
Bless you.
Better?
Beyond better. Bye.
Bye.
Get to a better state. Call 1-800-STATE-FARM today.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just partway. We go full throttle. We don't just put oil on sale. Oh, no. We bring mind-blowing value every day. Right now, buy a 5-plus quart jug of Peak conventional motor oil with filter for just $9.99 after $5 mail-in rebate. That's an oil change special for less than $10. Mind blown. Budget not blown. Advance Auto Parts. Service is our best part.
Advance Auto Parts.
As the clock chimes a reminder that it's time to punch in for another shift, those of us who have worked tirelessly to honor our contracts and the promise they represent have also been paying attention to the many promises that have been ignored by the politicians.
Now as we mark the time for change,
it is you and I who will confidently send the message that since it is only us who have upheld their promises, that 2012 marks the time for change. And change begins with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
It does begin with First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Every day, change begins with First Shift. And then and it's not about me. It's about the people that I bring to you, about the issues. I want to think, even in the last hour, think about who we had on. We had the Occupy movement on. We had the minority leader, Richard Hamerlon, who's just an amazing guy. A constitutional lawyer on. This isn't about me. It's about great people and connecting you to that, and happy to do it. We have a great hour. We have Kevin Moore from Teamsters Local 299 with us. We'll get to his introduction in just a moment. We are going to take a little bit of his time at the end of the show today to talk to Zach Steve, who is the president of the Young Democrats of Michigan. They've invited me to speak at their mixer before the Jefferson Jackson Day dinner this Saturday. And let me remind you, if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, what the hell are you waiting for? They need to reserve that spot for you, folks. Anyway, let's get some intros out of the way and let's get this show going.
Joining us now from Teamsters Local 299,
a labor leader who defines with his deeds leadership and bravely guides his membership with courage and strength.
Here we are today embarking on another fight, another challenge that the state of Michigan is continuously attacking working class families, not just unit families, working class families. Middle class people in Michigan are under the biggest attack of their lifetime.
The plain talking union man, Kevin Moore.
Yep, indeed. Sitting in studio with me today is Kevin Moore. Kevin, a pleasure to have you back in studio. I know you've had an incredibly busy week already, so that you got up early to be with us today is special to me. Truly it is. I know how difficult the week's been for you.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure, and I enjoy coming here. It fires up my day.
No, good. I'm glad. We have a lot to talk about today. We're actually going to get to a couple different issues. One of them, though, is something that I... when I asked you what you wanted to talk about, one of the things that you said you wanted to talk about were precinct delegates. And at first I scratched my head and I went, why would Kevin care about that issue? Well, it makes sense pretty quickly when you understand what precinct delegates do. Let's if we can, for this audience, define what a precinct delegate is.
Well, a precinct delegate, it's a grassroots in your community. Every community has a district that allows so many precinct delegates, and it's from your neighborhood. It's your neighborhood people that have issues and concerns, and it's a way for them to be a part of the Democratic Party. It's through your precinct. You can sign an affidavit to run. There's a lot of open districts that have open seats that all you have to do is sign up for it, and you'll be a precinct delegate. It's a way to give your community a voice. Our Joint Council 43, our local unions in the Teamsters Union, mine is very actively involved. It gives us a base of our membership throughout the communities within the state of Michigan to have a voice, to represent your community and the issues that are concerning your area.
Now, I find this is one of the things that I find fascinating. Again, I want to very quickly remind people, we talked very briefly the last time you were here about your journey to becoming president of Teamsters Local 299. You didn't just wake up one morning and say, you know, I'd like to be the president, and then you're elected and it's over with. This was something you fought for, and you fought hard to get to where you're at today. Part of, I would think, and again, I'll throw it to you, but part of, I think, your leadership style or empowering those, your membership that you serve is to engage them in the process of democracy. We're not going to make the assumption that every one of your members is a Democrat, because that would be naive of us to believe that. At the same time, though, those that really want to make a difference, and our unions are, they're in their own way, communities. They certainly, by any definition, a union is a community. I can see why it would be important that you encourage your membership to become precinct delegates. It gives them a voice beyond just the voice they have now in their workplace. So I bravo. I think it's a stroke of genius that you do that. And I guess the point, and even the question here is, do you encourage your members, which I know the answer to, but do you encourage your members to be precinct delegates?
Yeah, I definitely encourage our members to. It's a great tool to get them involved, to educate them. Our local takes it very seriously. We ask our members to get involved. An educated membership is an informed membership that can go back to the workplace in their communities and express the issues and concerns that are going on in their lives. It's not only my local. Every local in Teamsters Joint Council, Greg Nowak of Teamsters Local 1038, the beer drivers, very actively involved. These men and women go out there and they get involved. They have a voice. So when these party leaders, our concerns and our issues are already there. So they have to come and engage with us to get our support. And it's a way for you, because you can't be the everything person. You need an army of people, and those of us, I know I speak for myself, I want a highly educated group of people around me smarter than me. I'm not afraid of educating my workforce and the membership that we have, because they're the ones that are out there each and every day putting up the fight. They know the struggles. They're the ones getting their butt kicks on the jobs every day. Their community, their teachers, they see the crumbling. So their active voice is very important.
I think it changes the entire dynamic of our entire human experience. Stop and think for a moment. Okay, let's take out of the equation democracy. So that's gone. Let's take out of the equation union membership. So that's gone. So all of a sudden, you just have a job, or if you're lucky, they treat you well. All right, so let's just define it that way. All of a sudden, you find yourself, as an example, getting a good union job. You're represented by Teamsters. And all of a sudden, you show up at your union meeting, and somebody there says, hey, listen, there's an opportunity for you to serve the greater good of your community, not just your union, but your community as a precinct delegate. You can go from, and this is really kind of fascinating, you can go from just being somebody that's got a job to somebody that actually has a voice, not only in the workplace, but in the community. And that opportunity probably never presented itself to you without your union. So this idea that we belong to unions and it's just about wages and benefits, I mean, we kind of blow that out of the water this morning, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely you do. And you'd be surprised how many of your members and your working families that if they get an opportunity and this is put before them, you know, for years this was like a hidden agenda. If you'd be surprised how many of your members that if you enlighten them and give them a little tool here, they'll grab this and run with it like never before. They've just never been given an opportunity or educated. They don't even know this is going on.
Yeah, again, I'd be amazed, you know, even those that claim to be the learned within the process of democracy, especially on the Democratic side of things, are even aware that there are something as that are called precinct delegates. In fact, I got an email from a guy. He's a precinct delegate last week, and he kind of lectured me a little bit about some of the mistakes I'm making, not promoting this enough. The caucuses was what he was really referencing, and he says, although you've mentioned it on the show, you only mention it when Mark Brewer's on, which isn't entirely true, but I understood and appreciated his passion for the commitment that he's made to being a precinct delegate. It is an elected position. This is an important part of the Democratic Party here in the state of Michigan, and people that hold those positions should be taking it seriously, Kevin.
Absolutely. You're elected by the constituents of your community, and you're their voice. I champion those who get involved. We need to get more involved. It's a grassroots effort that, it's another educational tool for our young folks. It's not just young people, old people. I have senior citizens got involved, retirees from Teamsters Union that said, you know what? I'm getting off this couch and getting involved, and God bless them.
Well, absolutely. Let's take a quick phone call before we have to get to the break and welcome Dave in California listening on iHeartRadio. Dave, you're on the air.
Hey, morning, Tony. Yeah, from San Francisco. Hadn't called in a while.
Wonderful. Nice to hear from you.
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to ask your guest a couple of questions. First one has to do with living wage. I'm out here in San Francisco, and we got, I'm in a union that's in the convention center. And when we were going for our raise a couple of years ago during negotiations, we had to show the public why we deserved a raise. And the fact that we are working in the downtown area right by the convention center where everything is super expensive. A cup of coffee is $2. You know, to go get lunch, to compete against the financial district's lunch crowd, you know, we got to pay the highest prices for lunch. Parking is outrageous down there. So we deserved a raise just to be able to go to work. And so I'm wondering, when you're doing your negotiations, do you work on any kind of media campaign to the public showing that if you can get a raise, you'll be able to spread the wealth?
No, I need to ask, before Kevin answers that, I need to ask real quick, are you in a union, Dave, or not?
Yeah, I am. I'm in the sign and display union.
Okay, very good. Thank you for the call. So the question...
Yeah, one other thing.
Yeah. Go real quick.
This is separate. David Stockman, as I understand it, he had kind of cornered the market in Detroit on interiors, and I was interested in asking a more detailed question about his role in collapsing Detroit. But the living wage, I wouldn't want to sidetrack that one.
All right, well, we'll come back to the second part of that at a later time. Let's take the break, Kevin. We'll come back. We'll talk about, you know, what the union does to educate the public. Obviously, there aren't programs like this in every market, so that would be an issue. Kevin Moore, again, my guest. He is the president of Teamsters Local 299. Dave, thank you for the call. If anybody would like to join us, feel free to do that. 888-552-3595. A lot more to get to, including some trucking regulations that I'm going to guess you're not aware of that you need to be. So stay with us. A lot more to come here on First Shift. I'm Tony Trupiano. You're listening to 1310 WDTW. We will be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And we do have to remember, you know, the straw vote is one thing, but then there's one other thing called delegates. Yeah!
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
An accident is causing problems on 94 eastbound just before the Southfield Freeway. It has your right shoulder blocked, and that's causing slow traffic from Pelham Road. Over on US 23 southbound just before M14, an accident has your shoulder blocked, and that's causing slow traffic from Silver Lake Road. And we still got that stalled vehicle that's blocking your right shoulder on 75 southbound at Dix Highway. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 60 degrees with a chance of showers in the early morning. Tonight, partly cloudy and 30. Tomorrow, 56 degrees and sunny. And it's currently 50 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Attention, passionate Democrats all over Michigan.
The Michigan Democratic Party is proud to announce their annual fundraiser, the Jeff Jack Dinner.
Will be held this year on Saturday, April 28th.
And your attendance is required. They are thrilled to welcome to Michigan Robert Gibbs, senior advisor to Obama for America and a true friend of Michigan, as the former press secretary for our own Senator, Debbie Stabenow, as well as to President Obama. In addition to an amazing dinner at Cobo Center, this year marks the inaugural after party that is a can't-miss event.
And is included in the price of your dinner ticket.
Whether you have attended in the past or this is your first time, the Jeff Jack Dinner is one of the most exciting events for Democrats, and it is literally a must attend for those of us who care about the Michigan Democratic Party. Just go to MichiganDems.com/Jeff Jack to purchase your tickets now.
That's MichiganDems.com/Jeff Jack.
And reserve your spot to one of the most exciting political nights of the year. We'll look forward to seeing you there.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up? Diggity doll.
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
22 minutes after the hour, again, my guest, Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299. Kevin is with us on an every other week basis. This is his week. The other week on Thursdays is David Hecker, president of the American Federation of Teachers. Kevin, welcome back. Let's go to the question of the caller. You've got a local issue. You're in a union. You got a local issue. You're in the middle of a contract negotiation. The public perception is you're probably, you know, doing well or overpaid or whatever the public thinks, because they all think that because you're in a union, you're overpaid. I don't know where that started, where it comes from, but we know it's true. Do you ever use the media to help you with negotiations?
Well, it's very hard to use the media. Most of the media is owned by the far right wing rich people. They don't want to give you any time or any airway time other than this great show.
Well,
we don't have a working voice out there. So the media is really not usually in your corner. We bring the media to our corner if we get into a position where we have to go to the streets, then we, I shouldn't say force them, but we make it so progressive that they actually come to see what's going on, and that's the way you get your voice heard in the media anymore in this town.
Yeah, you know, and it's unfortunate, actually, when we stop and think about, again, just general public education, if you don't have the money, because media is expensive, so if you're going to buy advertising, you know, it's expensive to do that. The media, in and of itself, at one point, they actually did their job, which was to report what was happening in our communities. I was railing on the local media early in the show today because they continue to get the basic facts wrong, and it's driving me nuts. As you know, the deeper I get into this show, the more that stuff's driving me crazy. I'm telling you, when they misreport what's going on, and just the last 2 days alone, they're talking about the GE shareholders meeting yesterday. They started off that segment by saying, and of course, you know, it was nonviolent direct action, right, Kevin? So we already know that because they don't pay attention. The first thing they report is, you know, the police who can't afford overtime or and they're in mass because they need to stop the violence that they know is coming. No, there was no violence coming. All right? So that's number one. Today, you know, there's another example. My point is the media really does not do – now, can we talk about why that happened? It happens for a lot of reasons. You know, the reality is, you know, media is a business like anything else. It has to be profitable. And unfortunately, especially in the journalism circles – the media, whatever that means to people, quote unquote, the media decided that they needed to protect the business side of the ledger over the truth side of what they do. And that's just one of the realities of doing that. Again, you know, and I'll again ask the basic question, which is, and maybe it doesn't even help you in negotiations. I've never been in a negotiation, so I don't know. Does it really give you any advantage to use the media in a negotiation, or is it just kind of a nice thing if it happens to happen?
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. If it gets to the point where it's a breakdown and in media and public awareness can help your cause, then you use every avenue you can to address it. We have done that. We did it at Cobo Hall when we had the car hall workers being unjustly their jobs taken away and given away and outsourced. We were negotiating, and we had to make it public. And we did demonstrations in front of Cobo Hall, and we got attention from the media because the police came, the media had to come, and we got public awareness in that.
Okay.
We ended up solving the problem and moving on.
All right. Let's just very quickly, and Dave, thank you for the call. I do appreciate that a great deal. Let's go back to just precinct delegates for just a moment before we move on to the trucking issue that we want to discuss today, Kevin. you know, I guess I'll just ask the basic question. Why do you encourage your membership to be precinct delegates? What is it about them being engaged in that segment of democracy that, as a union president, a union leader, excites you? Why do you want your membership to be engaged in politics, period?
Well, because politics affects their job each and every day. What these right-wing people are doing in Michigan today affects our workers each and every day. And if they have a voice and they're educated and they can help register people to vote. You know, I mean, you know how many people, young people and old people in this state, we don't even have registered to vote. We're doing a petition drive to get a constitutional change in this state. Now, we have more voting people or potential voters out there. It's amazing to me that they have the money and our people aren't registered to vote, and their issues are their pensions, their health care, their jobs, their children, their education, their police and fire. I mean, their community is being destroyed around them. And this is one avenue that you can use to engage your people to get involved so they can go back to the workforce. I have 130 people, companies under contract in Metro Detroit. I can't be at 130 companies every day. So my stewards, my grassroots members, in getting them engaged, they can go back and they can talk in the break rooms. They can educate the people they work with and try to put a fire under their belly that they will step up and get involved in their community instead of getting so beat down and almost a give-up attitude. That's what's going on in this state. Thank God we have these Spring 99 people out here, these young kids engaging. You know why they're engaging? They're engaging because they see their future being eviscerated around them. They're going to college. They're coming out of college. They can't get jobs. They're in debt up to their ears with loans. And they see that they're not going to have the life their mother and father had. You and I were lucky enough to grow up in a generation where we did better than our parents. I'm deathly afraid my son is going to go and get a college education and make less money than we have fought for, and ultimately might even have to move out of the state to find a job.
You know, you mentioned this again last week, or the last time you were here. So I understand, as a father, I understand your concern. Listen, I have no problem if my kids move out of state because they have an amazing opportunity waiting for them. I do have a problem if they have to leave the state in order to just make a living.
Well, that was my point.
Right. I know that's your point. So here's the bottom line. And, you know, and you mentioned shop stewards. I don't know why, but immediately you said that, and I went, now there's the perfect precinct delegate. The average shop steward, if you will, and we need to do a show one day on what a steward does, because they are the key to, as far as I'm concerned, union lifeblood. They are the key.
They're your backbone.
Absolutely. No question about it. Talk about doing all the work and not getting any of the glory. And they work hard. I think they'd make the perfect precinct delegate because they live in both worlds. They really do.
A lot of ours are precinct delegates because they have been educated and taught through the last 12 years of, you know, that's been a part of our program, is to get our stewards foremost involved with every issue. But you branch out. You know, there's so many possibilities with precinct delegates. You want your members. You want the steward can't be the everything guy. He needs a core group of people around him, too. So you branch it out. You try to grasp any member you can that wants to engage and get involved, because that's a tool for you. It's a tool for your union. It's a tool for your community. And it's a voice. The more voice you have out there and educating the people instead of letting them walk through life in a fog, you're going to be much better.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. It just makes perfect sense. All right, Kevin Moore is with us. We're going to take a quick break here. We are going to switch gears, a new topic on the other side of this. Of course, your calls are welcome. 888-552-3595. Tony@thetonyshow.org. On Twitter, @TonyTrupiano. Let's take the break. We'll continue with First Shift right after we do this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Right now we have a problem in the Ypsilanti area on 94 eastbound near Huron Street. You got two separate accidents blocking the left lane, and that's causing stop and go traffic from Michigan Avenue. And we just got a report of a two-car accident that's blocking your right shoulder on 96 eastbound just after Evergreen. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 60 degrees with a chance of showers in the early morning. Tonight, partly cloudy and 30. Tomorrow, 56 degrees and sunny. And it's currently 50 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
This is for the small business that refuses to give up. For the ones who still believe in a reward for hard work. And for those who recognize the potential that still exists in America. .us believes in you. And we want to do our part to make it easier for you to get online. With the right web address, the tools that make it simple, and by building a community of small business owners. Together, we can kickstart America. Join the movement at kickstartamerica.us.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
My congratulations to workers in 16 states, from Maine to Georgia, New Jersey to Colorado. Many of you will be thrilled to know that the income taxes deducted from your paychecks each month are going to a very worthy cause, your corporate boss. Good Jobs First, a nonprofit, nonpartisan research center, has analyzed state programs meant to create jobs but instead have created some $700 million a year in corporate welfare. This scam starts with a normal practice of corporations withholding from each employee's monthly check the state income taxes their workers owe. But rather than remitting this money to pay for state services, these 16 states simply allow the corporations to keep the tax payments for themselves. Adding to the funkiness of taxation by corporation, the bosses don't even have to tell workers that the company is siphoning off their state taxes for its own fun and profit. These heists are rationalized in the name of job creation, but that's a hoax too. They're really just bribes the states pay to get corporations to move existing jobs from one state to another, or they're hostage payments to corporations that demand the public's money, or else they'll move their jobs out of state. Last year, Kansas used workers withholding taxes to bribe AMC Entertainment with a $47 million payment to move its headquarters from downtown Kansas City, Missouri, to a KC suburb on the Kansas side, just 10 miles away. What a ripoff. Among the 2,700 corporations cashing in on such absurd diversions of state taxes from public need to private greed are Goldman Sachs, GE, Motorola, and Procter & Gamble. This is Jim Hightower saying, for ways you can help stop this despicable giveaway, get the full report. It's available at goodjobsfirst.org.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
You know, this is going to be a much more critical issue than may meet the eye initially. And I don't want to muddle this up. I'm going to let Kevin set it up. But when we live, it's just so interesting, Kevin. I was mentioning earlier, Kevin Moore, by the way, my guest, president of Teamsters Local 299. I was mentioning just earlier this morning how porous the Detroit border is. You know, we don't often think of Detroit as an international cross. Most of us don't. We don't see it. You know, we think of our friends in Canada as just being friends. That's a friendly place. But, you know, there's some serious issues between, the Canada, and I don't mean the governments. I'm saying there are serious issues, commerce issues especially. We might think as it relates to California or even Texas that it's Mexico. That seems to be the more prevalent conversation. But that doesn't mean that there isn't a connection between the United States and Canada, because there clearly is. Kevin, let me ask you this question, because if I recall a couple years back, and I don't think it was that long ago, the rules changed for people coming into the country, truckers coming into the country. In fact, they're held to a lesser standard than trucks coming from the U.S. into foreign countries. If you can help maybe educate us a little bit on what's going on. Do I have this right? Is there an issue there?
Yeah, there is an issue there. Everybody's concerned about the Mexican border, which is a very big concern in this country. And our Teamsters Union is actively involved with stopping that border opening for multiple reasons. We'll get into that. But the Canadian border also, there's an average of 275 trucks per hour. 6,660 trucks per day.
Really?
Coming into our country from Canada, and it's a free reign for them. On the other hand, our workers, we have workers on the Canadian bridge that are my members, that if they want to work on the Canadian side of that bridge, cut it in half, they have to have a work permit to go over there. On the other hand, the workers that are, because we have a 50-50 split on maintenance people, high tower people that maintain the bridge. We have Canadian workers that come working over here freely. No permits involved at all. Just come over here, work with no impediment at all.
Hmm.
Our drivers, too. I'll use an example. 4 years ago, we went through a long legal battle, and we lost. I had a trucking company that was in America for over 30 years, and it was TNT Overland that worked back and forth from Canada, the parent companies in Canada. Well, they shut down the American operation here and moved it right across the border in Windsor. So our drivers would go across the bridge, park their personal vehicle in the lot, get their truck, just drive completely over the bridge. Don't stop anywhere in Canada. Come directly back to Michigan to do their work. That went on for about 7 months until somebody went to Canadian courts. They outlawed our drivers from coming across the bridge to pick up their truck, deliver their commerce in Michigan. And these men had 25 and 30 years seniority on the job and lost their job.
Wow.
So it is not fair. If we're going to have an open border on the Canadian side, it should be an open border. If we're going to have regulations, we should have the same regulations on a Canadian worker as they put on us.
Now, what about the Mexican border? Is it the same issues, Kevin, or are we talking different issues here?
Oh, we're talking major different issues than the Mexican border. They're bringing inferior trucks across this country, and that's why this pilot program is being started up again by the far-right Republicans. They don't have to operate under safety conditions that we do, DOT laws and regulations. It's inferior trucks. They're bringing across, just come out yesterday, March 22nd, the United States Custom Agents found one of the MX truck drivers that are on this pilot program, one of the two trucks that are on the pilot program, had a load of jalapeno peppers, and it had over 3,000 pounds of marijuana on it. And instead of busting it at the border, the U.S. Custom Agents followed all the way to North Carolina, where they found a ring of people in vans that they split the marijuana up and was going to distribute it all over the United States. And they busted that operation. We're concerned about them transporting weapons into this country. The drug cartel is using it for their transportation system. But the most important thing for me and you that I'm concerned of is the safety of the American public on the highways. I mean, these trucks, you know, are 75, 80,000 pounds. They're inferior. They don't have the proper braking systems. They're going to kill American citizens.
Can I ask an obvious question? Why would our government allow this to, I mean, why would we just ignore what, obviously, just beyond being unfair, why would this, to me, this is a matter of national security, Kevin.
They don't care. It's about making money. They pay these guys nothing. They're driving.
Come on, really?
It's about money, period. Cut and dry money. They move the jobs down there because of money. They want to bring the parts back into the country for money. It's cut and dry profit. They don't care about you or me.
All right, so that I understand this, I have, well, first of all, I have to imagine this is, if it hasn't yet, and I would imagine it probably has, it has to be costing us American jobs, yes?
Oh, absolutely. It's going to cost you a heck of a lot more if they continue. I don't think they're going to be successful. I really don't. And I know the Teamsters Union and my boss, Jim Hoffa, is involved in a litigation suit in the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, about this Mexican pilot program. We are going to fight it to the nth degree. We think it's totally unfair, unsafe, and they want to bring their goods over to this country. They can drop in the marshalling yard, and our American drivers will deliver them.
Now, it's my understanding, the little bit of homework, and you'll be able to speak to this better than I ever will, but it's my understanding that this pilot program isn't even big enough to statistically be significant, that they won't be able to really garner any statistics out of this that will give them definitive answers whether or not it's going to work. Is that correct?
Yeah, they can't seem to meet our regulations and come up with the equipment safe enough there. They got one of MX drivers now. They just impounded one of their trucks. They got two. So I just don't see it working. But they are still, after this comes up, it's been coming up all the way through the George Bush administration, and every year we're standing at the desk door fighting it and pushing it back. But they won't give up. It's year after year after year.
Now, when we say they, the trucking industry, is that who they is?
The Mexican government along with us and crying that it's not fair under the NAFTA. And it's big corporations.
You know. Well, NAFTA, of course, has its own serious flaws. There's no question that's true. If the one thing, and I got to tell you, as much as I really like Bill Clinton, I don't know that I'll ever be able to forgive him for NAFTA. But we'll have that conversation some other time. back to this pilot program. I'm thinking that this happens with congressional approval, right? I mean, there are certain things that have to happen. I can't imagine, because this is something that does touch the state of Michigan, not just the Canadian border. You know, we have a lot of truckers here, as you know. You represent a lot of them. Commerce between countries is something that's very necessary. The reason we need a second bridge is because we see an increase in commerce. You had mentioned during one of the breaks how important Montreal is to commerce in the Midwest. I think people understand that a lot of what comes into this country comes in through Montreal and through Canada. With all that being said, does our congressional delegation weigh in on this issue at all, Kevin?
No, we're bringing it more to light. I think it's like a thief in the night. Nobody's paying attention to the Canadian border, and I relish bringing commerce in from the ports of Montreal into America. Just give us the fair shake to deliver back in and out. I mean, it should be open border that we can deliver. You're going to deliver here, because if you don't have controls on it, it's going to cost jobs in America. It's going to cost a lot of jobs in Michigan.
Here's the part that I just find incredible, and so that people understand, because I think this is quite a nonpartisan issue. This isn't a Democrat-Republican issue, and this is why. If you're coming into this country, you do not have to meet a burden. You just come into this country. If you're leaving this country, which means if you're an American company doing business on either, doesn't matter what border you're crossing, you have regulations. There's a cost to that. You have to meet a threshold. This is a burden. This is truly the poster child for unfair.
Yes, it is. All right. Without a doubt.
But for those that are listening, they're going, well, come on, it's commerce, and hey, it's just the game. No, this is not fair in any way, shape, or form. And this is something that needs to be corrected, and it needs to be corrected legislatively. This is a legislative issue.
Absolutely it is, and it needs to be addressed. But you know, the only way we're going to address it is just like we're doing here today, make people aware of what's going on.
Well, this is one of those issues where you go, this can't really be happening. When I read this stuff, I went, come on, this is really happening? It's really happening.
It's really happening, my friend.
It's insane. Now, imagine, and because there are truck drivers that aren't part of organized labor, that I would imagine, especially those people that own their own trucks, this has got to be putting people out of business. I can't fathom. Even on the union side of things, I can't fathom this isn't putting people out of work and out of business.
I guarantee it's putting people out of business. It's affecting our companies over here, and I represent a lot of transportation workers, truck drivers in the state of Michigan, and I'm involved with it on an international level through the International Teamsters Union. It is affecting our workers over here immensely.
Can we come back and revisit this?
Absolutely.
All right. All right, we're out of time for today. And next time you visit us, you're going to actually be out of town, but we're going to take you on the phone.
I'll take you by the phone. I'm going to be glad to be there. I'm going out to Las Vegas to get sworn in for the...
I told Donna, your administrative assistant, that it's going to be 5 o'clock in the morning, and she says, yes, Kevin does math. He understands that. So, anyway, we'll look forward to talking to you in a couple weeks. Hopefully, we'll see you Saturday at Jeff Jack.
Be well, my friend.
All right. Thank you. Kevin Moore. We'll come back and talk to Zach Steve with the Young Democrats and their labor caucus. We'll let you know what that's all about on the other side. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trippiano.
You know why I knew this rescue would succeed? It was because I believed in you. I placed my bet on the American worker, and I'll make that bet any day of the week.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage.
Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit this page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
The 2012 Michigan Summit will celebrate and champion progressive change that is driving Michigan and will challenge all of us to make sure that all of Michigan moves forward together. Please go to themichigansummit.org right now and register to make sure you have saved yourself a seat for Saturday, May 12, 2012 at the Kellogg Center in East Lansing, Michigan. As keynote speakers George Coel and Barbara Arnwine promise to deliver messages that transcend petty politics and empower all of us to find a new path to prosperity. Together, as we reach across every sector of society to uplift and engage all of our friends and colleagues, themichigansummit.org should be your first stop in planning for a future that is all-inclusive. Please join Progress Michigan in energizing, engaging, and winning. Register at themichigansummit.org right now.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us,
like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Redford, you like that? I'm the new sound machine guy. You digging that? And I can start doing sound effects for you. Let me know if you need me to do that, all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm interrupting him. He's eating. What kind of bagel was that, by the way? It looked really, sinfully delicious.
Yep, that's what it is.
Just a sinful. Can I have a dozen sinfully delicious bagels, please?
I think they would sell a lot of those.
Yeah, I'm sure they would. It looked amazing, whatever it was. Now, Jeff's not a toasted bagel guy. I am. Anyway, as promised earlier on in the show, I'm very excited to welcome the president of the Young Democrats of Michigan, Zach Steve, to the show. You may remember him. Some of you may remember him with the Occupy Detroit movement. He's joined us before in that capacity. But today, he is here as the president of the Young Democrats, and we're here to talk about my small involvement in their mixer on Saturday evening before Jeff. Jack, Zach, it's a pleasure to have you on First Shift today.
Well, you know, I really appreciate the opportunity to come on today, Tony, and the Young Dems appreciate you coming out Saturday.
Oh, listen, when Neil asked me if this is something I'd consider doing, you know, Zach, anybody listening to the show knows, of course, that I'm very much a pro-labor guy. In fact, without labor, this show doesn't exist. Everybody knows that. There's no secrets there. But you know what? It's really about the young people that you represent, and not just the Democratic Party, but beyond that, but for our purposes, the Democratic Party, it's the people that you represent as the president of the Young Democrats that we need to now turn to so that they can carry that mantle moving forward. It is about the young people of this country strengthening labor and making sure that another generation of Americans, you know, get to participate in this thing we like to call democracy.
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, we're going to be focusing almost all our efforts through August or September. Well, excuse me, through the end of June, and depending if the Protect Our Jobs campaign goes on longer than that, we're going to be focusing all our attention on that and really trying to educate people because, you know, me personally, I've never had the opportunity to be a part of a union. But I do realize that I have to thank them for a minimum wage, for a 40-hour work week, for health care, for retirement, You know, and a lot of people just don't understand that. But what I would like to do, Tony, is I'd like to give out a few details about our mixer. It is this Saturday, before the Jeff Jag dinner, and it's at the Signature Grill, which is in the Riverfront Towers. It starts at 3:30 and it goes till 6. That's Saturday, April 28th. The Signature Grill is 250 Riverfront Drive in Detroit, Michigan. And I also just want to mention, in addition to having Tony there, we have our co-chairs, Congressman Hanson Clark, Brian Banks, who's a candidate for state rep in District 1. And then in our host committee, we have DNC member Rick Wiener, who was actually president of the Young Democrats of Michigan from 67 to 68. Wayne County Clerk Kathy Garrett, Teamsters Local 406 out of Grand Rapids, State Rep Phil Kavanaugh, State Rep Jimmy Womack, the Wyandotte Democratic Club, and myself in addition to that. So it's going to be a great time, and we really hope that your listeners would come out.
Well, I'll be happy to tell you that people started, as we're getting closer to Saturday, yesterday, people started, Zach, reaching out to me and saying, hey, Tony, I heard you say you were going to be somewhere on Saturday. What time? And let's remind people, it's a measly $10. And I say measly because, trust me, folks, these things are usually much more expensive. Zach, I want to make the point that all the money that the Young Democrats raise goes back into supporting the kind of people we want to elect to office that represent our values, that represent our morals, that represent our point of view. This gives Young Democrats an important voice in that process.
You know, that's right. We all the money we raise is going to go towards electing Democrats in November and supporting the Protect Our Jobs campaign, or as I've been calling it lately, the Keep Your Hands Out My Pockets campaign. That's really what we're fighting for. But no, we are fighting for progressive values. You know, I think that Young Democrats of Michigan are probably the most liberal Democratic organization in the state, extremely diverse. So we're going to be working extremely hard to first and foremost elect President Obama, Senator Stabenow. And then again, you know, we have three extremely important seats in the Michigan State Supreme Court. We need to put Johnson, Kelly, and McCormick in too. But back to the mixer, I just want to know if anybody has any questions or would like to RSVP, they can email us at ydmlabormixer@gmail.com. So that's ydmlabormixer@gmail.com.
All right, very good. Well, again, I'll continue to talk about this as we work our way up to Saturday. And Zach, I'll look forward to seeing you on Saturday, and let me buy you an adult beverage if you don't mind.
That sounds great. I'm looking forward to it myself, Tony.
It's going to be a fun night. And thank you again for honoring me with the opportunity to address that organization, because I'm very much looking forward to that. Zach, thanks so much. We'll see you Saturday.
See you Saturday.
You bet. All right, folks. We got to get ready to wrap things up. We've just got a few minutes left. I want to first of all, I want to thank all our guests today. We really had a great lineup today. I'm impressed. Can't take any credit for it. That's all Jeff's work. But I'm just real impressed. If you missed it earlier, I spoke at the Grosse Pointe Library last night, a group called Points for Peace. And one of the people that was there in a full room situation had been at the GE protest yesterday morning and brought me a placard that says GE pay your fair share. We had a caller earlier in the show that says, you know, whatever fair share means. So I'm going to make this simple. The vast majority of the people listening to this show right now pay taxes to the state. They pay taxes to the federal government. The majority of us do that. All right. So when we say pay your fair share, I just want corporations to pay what I pay, not the amount I pay, but exponentially what I pay based on my income, whatever, right? And that's fair. That's fair. General Electric said yesterday, we do pay our taxes. We paid X point so many billions of dollars last year. And that's true. But if we finish that sentence, and you always need to finish the sentence, folks, if you finish the sentence, it goes something like this. We paid X amount of dollars in taxes last year, but we were allowed through loopholes to not pay about $5 billion. And on top of that, we received a refund from the government to the tune of $1.6 billion, which for a company the size of General Election may be chump change. Exponentially. If you don't understand what that word is, look it up. Don't mean to offend anybody, but I'm not going to dumb down my conversation for Republicans. That's fair share. That's all I'm saying. That's fair share. All right. Joe DeSano tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that. We're also going to have a guest on tomorrow from the Communication Workers of America that's put together a website that is brilliant. It's brilliant. I can't wait to bring you this segment tomorrow. I fell in love with this website. You'll understand why, but you gotta stay with us. You gotta come back tomorrow. That's all I'm asking. Again, my thanks to Sandy at the Points for Peace people for having me out last night. Let's finish it up for today. I got a busy afternoon, so I'm gonna go do it. Anthony and Jeff, thank you. You've been an amazing audience. Off the air, Tony at thetonyshow.org. And as always, I ask that you be well.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Got some good news. They have cleared both accidents from earlier. First one on 94 eastbound near Huron Street. And 96 eastbound after Evergreen, but we're still working on some slow spots on 696 westbound between DeQuinder and Southfield Road and 75 southbound between 14 Mile and 8 Mile. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 60 degrees with a chance of showers in the early morning. Tonight, partly cloudy and 30. Tomorrow, 56 degrees and sunny. And it's currently 50 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities.